For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. We are live in studio. We have a packed house. Jason Tebow isn't joining us, so I'm sure we've lost a couple people after that. But we got some wonderful people in studio. Join us from the Jason Ellis Show on Sirius Radio. He's moving to a big channel. I think it's called Faction. We'll hear more about it. My good friend, Mike Tully, everybody.
Hey, Sam.
All right.
Excellent. Hey, Ari. Where are you, Ari?
Ari's in New York City.
New York.
And join us, you've seen him on everything, Netflix, the roast battles. He's got a very popular podcast called Kill Tony. Tony Hinchcliffe, everybody.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And in New York, everybody's favorite fucking filth Jew, Ari Shaffir. How are you?
Oh, tired.
All right. Let me pay the bills real quick.
And stay in bed for 3 hours.
Oh, it's got to be hard. How are you enjoying, are you performing a lot, or are you taking off like you said you were going to?
No, I'm performing a lot. No, taking off was for the road.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm performing a lot. I'm a little sad after I did my special. It's like everything was geared towards that, so I'm getting like this postpartum depression.
Oh, yeah, just like having a baby. Right? Is it like having a baby?
Yeah.
Guys.
It's kind of like that.
Let's pay the bills real quick. All right, guys, a lot of great sports coming up with the playoffs in the NFC and in the NFL. We'll talk about the college football playoffs. And UFC is heating up. Go to BetDSI, BetDSI for all your betting needs. Use Punch Drunk Sports. Get your $10 betting cash. Takes a couple hours. Use it towards making some cash. I know I've made a little bit on a couple good bets. Also, go to SeatGeek. SeatGeek, use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK, and you'll get $20 to your first towards your first purchase. I bought some tickets last night to the Clippers game. Went to see
how much,
dude. I bought two $60 tickets. $20.
What's that? You get them for?
Okay. Yeah, I bought them for $100. Well, I total after the $20. Oh, the $20. I got it for $100. Two tickets.
Two tickets, $100 each.
No, total.
Wow. Clippers tickets, huh? So that's like seat 1A and 1B.
Yeah, well, it was right next to Doc Rivers. I kept throwing. Yeah, right next to Doc Rivers. It was against Portland. Feisty game. DJ got kicked out, and Paul Pierce decided he wanted to go home, too, so he just followed him out. So go to SeatGeek. Use Punch Drunk Sports. You can use it for everything. Concerts, sporting events. Dogfighting's probably in there, too. Somewhere you'll find a Mexican dogfighting ring. So go use it. SeatGeek. Help us out. And also go to Caveman Coffee. Use Caveman Coffee. Use promo code PUNCHDRUNK. Get 10% off your coffee needs. And what else is there? Oh, Amazon links. PunchDrunkSports.com. Use Amazon links. You guys are great. And Patreon. Do you guys do Patreon?
Nope.
Patreon. Go on there, guys. We put a special Punch Drunk Sports special, Sam Tripoli and Tebow podcast. If you do $10 a month, you get that podcast. You get a special one, and we're also going to be doing it for the fight night. I know it's a lot. I got to pay the bills.
That sounds funny.
What?
You get to listen to a bonus episode of you and Tebow?
We're going
to
do one a week.
I love that.
We're
going
to keep throwing on some extra content for that. I'm going to try to get down to $5 a month if you do $5 a month. But go there. We're doing Mickey Gall's fight this weekend in Sacramento. We're going to do a special podcast. So go to Poetry.
I saw last week.
How was it?
It was great. It was nice. His sister wasn't there. His hot sister wasn't there.
I bet she is hot. He's a good-looking kid. I bet you she's hot, too.
She is hot.
Yeah.
And she's like a serious blue belt.
Oh, she's got a blue belt?
Well,
I love how everybody thinks Ari has some sort of jiu-jitsu skills because he literally took 2 weeks of jiu-jitsu. And
I took 2 years. I spaced out 2 weeks over 2 years.
Okay. That's good.
Jewiest jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, and then you had knee surgery.
Yeah.
You literally blew out a knee.
I blew out a knee doing jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I showed the doctor. He was like, I was like, can I do jiu-jitsu? He goes, what are you doing? I showed him. I was like, you know, you pull this in, you pull. And he goes, oh, well, don't do that. Why would you do that? And I was like, oh, that's part of it.
It was great, dude. Ari, with Tully here, are we ever going to fight at Ellis Mania?
Yeah, Tully, when's the next Ellis Mania? Because now I'm completely off the road.
Yeah, you recovered from your career-ending jiu-jitsu injury. You want to run the punching motion past your doctor and make sure that's medically approved?
Sam won't be able to punch me. It's okay. I'm fine with that.
I don't know why you take that tack. You might well be better than Sam Tripoli, but to
in what? Just life?
No, I'm just saying you might be a better fighter. I've never seen you fight, but we have seen Sam in the ring, and he performed and availed himself nicely against a succession of opponents.
Yeah, a couple of them, like three.
What do you mean? I thought it was just one guy that he spazzed out.
No, spazzed out.
He's got a straight punch.
I
won't say a lot of things for Sam Tripoli's, but he's got a jab.
That's just...
He was like... He compartmentalized. You know how karate kids like paint the fence? Sam's like, knock out the dent, fix your hubcap.
Oh, because I'm Armenian?
Yeah, man, you got it.
I want to see you two fight so badly. Which one of you guys knows how to shoot? I mean, you both.
Well, that's his. That's what he's going to do. Well, no, that's his only hope.
This would be straight boxing.
Yeah, that's
what
you
do. Oh, we can't
do
MMA? I want to do MMA.
No, the commission will never go for it.
Who's the commissioner?
It's not going to be sanctioned.
Well, it is by the Las Vegas. I don't know if it's the Athletic Commission, but yeah, it sure is.
Really?
These are technically
MMA, Tully. These are technically MMA match.
You do it wherever you want, but if you want to do it at Ellis Mania in Las Vegas, the commission's actually going to they want it to be sparring. You're going to need headgear. You're going to need 12-ounce, 16-ounce
gloves. I'm fine with all that, but I can't kick him in the legs.
What I can do, because I'll still shoot, and I'll still fucking tap you.
I mean, I'm not going to be in the ring. I can't stop you.
I can do it with boxing gloves.
You're never going to tap me. You're never going to shoot. I took wrestling in high school, dude.
You did?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
100%.
How long did you wrestle in high school?
For like 4 years.
You wrestled in high school for 4 years?
Yeah, dude. And I took Thai boxing for a long time. I've taken boxing my whole life. I just don't like to fight.
I thought you played basketball in high school.
He said he did a lot.
No, I didn't. I played for 2 years and I stopped. And I basically was most improved on my bowling team.
Well, if you wrestled for 4 years and you played basketball for two and they happened during the same season, how were you able to do that?
Because I did both.
During the same season.
I got caught. I got dropped in basketball
there
in
we
seventh
go.
Grade.
Now the truth's coming out.
Okay. I never went anywhere in basketball, but I did wrestle and I was good.
Like unitard wrestling?
Bo Jaxarian here.
Yeah. Well, my brother was the white Bo Jackson. Dates out of the gates. Where are you going to be, Ari? You're in New York.
I'm going to be nowhere.
All right, great. Where are you
going to
be?
I'm going to Calgary, Houston, or Austin, Texas, San Francisco Sketchfest.
What, next week is where?
January. I'm in town until I'm doing New Year's Eve all the way through. So I took December off like Ari, I believe, did on the road. And I'm sure our agent is very happy about that, us both relaxing this month. And but, yeah, January, we're right back into it. Texas a bunch, San Fran Sketchfest, Moon Tower in Austin, Texas, Kill Tony's going a bunch of places, Big Fun Live Podcast.
Perfect.
Yep.
Hold on. I just got to explain something real quick. Sam, I'm sorry. But when he says agent, that's it's a guy whose job it is to find gigs for you.
Yeah.
All right. Feel better? Does that feel good?
It really does every time.
That feel good? That feels good? All right.
Why can't we do MMA, Tully? I don't understand. We don't have to have it sanctioned. Let's just pull the gloves off and let's go.
Dude, I don't have any problem with that. You don't need to wait for Ellis Mania if you want to shoot on Sam. You can do it anytime you want, man. I'm just saying
Why do I sound like
Peter Cetera?
I'm telling you, for some reason, I can fucking picture it. And I hope you don't get mad at me, Sam, but I picture it, and I normally am pretty good at like knowing how things are going to go.
Doubt it.
I see Ari taking you down, you being all like wibbly wobbly. For some, I see him getting your back. I see him throwing legs.
By the way,
I see him breaking you down.
Ari's got 30 seconds to make this happen because after that, he's gonna fucking be completely out of energy.
That's you. I'm gonna run for about a minute and a half, let you wobble over and fall on your own.
No, not gonna happen, Ari. Ari, I've been sparring my whole life.
Was that after boxing and before wrestling?
Thai boxing, kung fu. I mean, I've taken sparring my whole life.
Speaking of dirty boxers, Ari, can you stand up again?
Oh, no, you don't even know what's happening, dude. I'm surprised that Ellis doesn't make you look at his dick more.
No, we've never had that kind of relationship, thank God.
You don't even know. It gets worse, dude. It gets worse.
They fell down.
The only time I see Jason's dick is...
They connect to this.
The only time I see his dick is when he has a dick injury.
When he has a dick injury?
Yeah, I'm privy to those.
Like with his girl, he hurt his dick?
No, I don't remember how it happened. He had a huge purple leper spot. It was a traumatic injury. I should
like
clarify.
He fell off a bike.
Yeah. It was not a sexually transmitted leprosy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was traumatic leprosy, and I did see that on the set of a movie. So he was actually dressed like the woodsman. Remember that about our guy in the Australian outback? Who kills people, but he has a boner the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he rocked a boner the whole time.
Yeah, that's why he's called the woodsman.
Isn't that weird that you would like go on a serial killing thing and just pop Viagra first and just have a fucking giant angry dick?
We committed pretty hard to the pun.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So you know that Opie and Anthony's, the channel's changing, Ari. And it's
to what?
It's what's it changing to?
I guess Faction. It's official. Yeah, it's going to be called Faction Talk.
And it's a pretty good lineup, too.
Well, there's no Opie and Anthony. There's not even Opie and Jimmy anymore.
Right. There's Sam and Jim, and there's Opie.
And they're both on the same network?
Yeah, same channel, yeah.
Wow.
And we're changing the name of it?
And we're going there, yeah.
Yeah, Jason Ellis' show with Tully... They're going to be after Jim and Sam, right?
Yes.
Oh, every day. That's pretty good.
Yeah, right? I mean, finally some West Coast love.
Yeah, it beats
well,
talking.
Already serious.
Yeah, but it beats talking out of punk songs, which is what we're doing now.
You're glad to get off the music channel?
I'd be happy to get away from Offspring.
Oh, you're on the fucking music channel. That's lame. That's stupid.
Yeah, but only only for 10 years.
Is it not a music show?
Right. Exactly. That's what we said.
And
10 years later, they've responded, and we're going.
All talk, all the time.
So does that mean that Sirius and the Kumiai Network have sort of joined?
Mm-mm. No, because it's Kumiai's Kumiai, and Opie's doing his thing still on Sirius.
But they're talking now.
Gotcha. So Kumiai's going to be on Sirius.
I don't think so. No. I don't know. Not to the best of my knowledge.
Oh.
Kumiai has his own network, his own podcast network.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But isn't he talking now? Isn't Opie and Anthony talking?
I don't know. I think they talked once, but you know how it is when you like go through fucking 2 years of not talking and then you say hi. It's not like, let's see besties.
Yeah. So, Ari, you know, when are you paying off your bet for the pube beard?
Next time I go on Legion of Skanks, I guess.
When's that supposed to be?
I feel like you did not have my back at all on that, Sam.
No, that's not true at all, Ari. Everybody thinks I cheat on that. I actually was like, I'm going to let this thing play out. I did not cheat at all.
Disagree.
What happened was we had Luis Gomez on the show.
Like, Think about cities. You were like helping him along.
I was not helping him along. And Ari, by the way, if it was flipped, you would be fucking telling him the answers. You would completely.
So then you're admitting that you did help him.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't. I specifically didn't try because I knew I'd go through this.
And the loser.
Loser has to get pubes. The whole podcast has the whole everybody else on the rest of the podcast has to shave their nuts and he has to wear a pube beard for an entire show.
Oh, no.
Yes. I already did it with Ari. It was horrible.
Yeah, he already doing it mine.
But Ari right now is losing a bet. If the Raiders make the playoffs, they literally need one more win, and Denver looks decimated, and that's their next... No, the next game is Chargers. It's even easier.
Honestly, dude, I don't think they need one more win. I think they're fine.
So you think it's over?
Yeah. I don't
basically, Ari has to get his asshole bleached on the show.
Who's that a punishment for?
The Russian lady who's going to do it.
Yeah.
And Ari Shaffir.
Did the Russian lady lose a bet?
We're making up for fucking her people drama. Ruining the Hillary Clinton campaign. So she's going to have to fucking Pizzagate his asshole.
Now, does anal bleaching, is that permanent or does the ass rebound?
Oh, his ass is definitely going to rebound.
That's about 2 days of shine and then it's over.
That bleach is going to last 2 hours.
Now, what you don't know is that he has a constantly bleeding asshole.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like really wrecked. And
it's like a stigmata.
I was getting that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Stinkmata.
So he's going to be bleaching it. And then if the Raiders have a better record than the Falcons, then Tebow has to dress like a cross-dresser and walk the strip of Sam Aka Boulevard for an hour.
That's not bad. He's like halfway there. He's always wearing like a scarf or something.
Yeah, that is true. He is almost always there. But that's going to be it. We'll shoot a film of that and put it everywhere.
Now, on an adhesive level, how does a pube beard work?
How'd you do it, Ari, last time?
You shave with a shaver. Mm-hmm. And then you use, what's it called, glue that they use for film shoots and stuff?
Horse cum.
Spirit gum. Yeah.
And then you just sprinkle it on like you're making like a sparkly paper bean shaker?
It's like a brush. You brush it on the skin, and then you like just attach the hair. You pick up some hair and put it on the glue, and then it just sticks.
Wow. Man.
Jesus Christ. Mickey Gall's is supposed to call in. I'm trying to figure out when he's calling in.
I'm excited about that fight.
Dude, that's
Northcutt versus Gull. Good looking versus ugly.
It does look like the Twilight fight, right?
It's hilarious. And I love how Gull.
They're both good looking guys.
Oh, okay. Somebody must be a regular guest on your podcast.
Really?
You think Mickey Gall isn't good looking?
I feel like this is like the UFC prom. It's like the two best young looking guys are fighting, and then the prom queen has already been crowned. That's Paige Van Zandt.
Yeah.
I feel like
she's fighting the karate hottie.
Right, exactly. It's UFC prom, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's UFC prom. I mean, let's face it. If it's prom, Northcutt's the prom king. Let's face it. I mean, come on. Gull might win, but
he's such a dork.
I agree.
This guy's retarded. You're acting like he's ugly. The kid's a good-looking kid.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's...
I mean, we got to put it on the table now. We got to put it on the table that our friend might be ugly.
But I mean, Sage Northcutt has frosted tips, and he has a face like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, I don't know where that. You're just like in his homoerotic body. This guy with this gay puppet over here.
I just think the whole thing's funny. Like Gall keeps calling out Northcutt, like, "Oh, you're such like a Barbie doll," and all this stuff, and like it's something about cutting the hair. Did you hear that?
Yeah, losers got to shave their head.
Did Sage agree to that?
No,
he doesn't want to cut his Dragon Ball Z haircut.
I was like, dude, that'd be amazing. If right after the fight, somebody's corner just brings out a shaver and they're like, listen, we agreed to do this. And it's like, get up, as long as they're not super knocked out. Or even if they are, and just fucking, let's go, get on one knee, and just fucking shave it. That'd be great.
They did that once in the WWF. You know this. And it was Vince McMahon versus Donald Trump. And it was Stone Cold versus whoever. And they had to cut Vince McMahon's hair at the end, and Trump cut his hair. WWE Hall of Fame inductee, Donald Trump.
Yes.
Man, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was all about that.
Is he still among the living?
Brutus?
Brutus is.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I roasted him a couple years ago, and he was.
Oh yeah. We did the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, he was fun. I said the only person that's done more scissoring than Brutus Beefcake was Morgan Murphy. She's a lesbian, but not really. It was just a runner of jokes I was doing. Yeah.
Well, some of that gold you'll be hearing on all of his tours that he's doing, all of his tour dates.
Yeah, I do old roast jokes of people that aren't there on my tours.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I might choke Tony out by the end of the show.
Yeah, same.
I might shoot on him and just choke him out and fucking butt rape a fucking young boy.
Wow, that'll be another wrestling match to a comedian that you've lost other than the audience.
Hold on. You think you beat me in wrestling?
I know I would beat you.
Okay,
Sam.
When are we doing this?
You name it, buddy.
You tell me when.
Tony, he's 100 pounds more than your weight class.
That's why I think it's going to be so much funnier when I beat him.
Okay, set it up. Set it up. Get the ring and
Technique,
set it up.
Precision.
Okay,
speed.
Set it up, dude. I'm going to snuff you out.
You're
going to
fall.
Adam. Ask Adam Hunter. I choked him out last time, and he teaches
Adam Hunter?
No,
yeah.
Adam,
he shot, and I fucking, boom, I put it on him, and he tapped.
Wow. All right.
And I'm going to put it on this kid, too. But the difference is I'm not going to let you tap, and I'm going to fucking ass while everybody watches.
Wow.
Yep.
True desires are coming out.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I mean, if it was a sanction, if we had a big mat, and it was, you know, if it was a healthy setup, I would totally do it.
All right. What do you need? You send me your list of fucking demands, and we'll do it. What?
Doing a 10th planet in between classes.
Cool. Set it up. All I'm going to talk to Eddie.
There.
I'm doing I'm doing a special conspiracy theory podcast tonight with Eddie Bravo, and I'll talk to him about it. We'll set it up. Mm-hmm. I'm down. I'm excited. I'm going to fight everybody on the show except for Tully.
I'm not fighting Sam. I've seen him fight. You'll beat me.
Thank you.
I know where I stand.
Thank
Sam,
you.
Sam, you're going to be...
Back. Tell him he's got Sam's back. Tell him he's in his corner.
All I'm saying is that I've seen the man throw a punch, and I've seen a lot of people in my day talk, and I've seen it have no relation whatsoever to what happens in the ring. Sometimes it does, but many times it doesn't. I've just seen physical evidence of this man.
He lost.
I'm a counter puncher.
One of the things
but
is that
fair when you can't see me punch because I'm so fast.
Oh my goodness! No, I've met guys
your
like
only
you before.
Thing. I would like to
the more you talk.
I wish we
could please do that again.
Come on, let me throw a punch.
You were scarier when you were showing your cock.
I just decided that for our match, Sam, you have to cut 10 pounds.
Oh, look
I can't
at
wait
you.
To I can't wait to see the video of that Sam trying to cut 10 pounds, looking like Cyborg did before
see.
Our last fight. Just all these people having to support him and like hold blankets around him while he cuts. He's at 8.5 pounds. He missed a half a meal.
So did you watch the last round? Did you watch the last fight, Ari?
I watched Cowboys.
Cowboys was a great... I think that was fight of the night. Everybody else thought it was Swanson Choi. I thought that was the fight of the night. Those dudes beat the fuck out of each other.
Oh, they're amazing.
And they're like high-fiving at the end. It's just like punch, punch, punch. Like when you and I wrestle, yeah. I won't high-five you. I'll spit on you as you're crying, and I'll walk out.
Okay.
That's how it's going to go.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be the lowest point of your life.
So no. Getting, I'm at lower. Trust
getting
me.
Judo tossed by me and not being able to
judo
get out
tossed.
Of my head
you're
arm.
Crazy.
Okay.
Crazy. I'm going to be fighting a child.
Right. Because everybody knows that. Where are you from again?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York, known for their amazing wrestling skills.
We actually do have good wrestling.
From there. Well, Tony, I honestly think you have better technique easily, but I don't think you've ever known what it's like to pick up 315 pounds.
How much do you weigh?
I'm about 2 bills, fuckface. A little over.
It's a solid 200 kilos.
Yeah, those bills are pounds. It's a 1.5 exchange rate.
I'm just going to let him come in like a bull and use his sloppy momentum to just...
You're really underestimating.
You're basically going to toss
yourself. But I'm fine with
yourself.
That. Keep talking.
You started
keep
it.
Keep talking. No, I'm going to finish it, too. I'll start it, and I'll finish it.
Just make sure you save this audio so when this shit show actually goes down, you
oh,
can play the audio at the same time. And as you guys have absolutely no technique and become instantly gassed, we can hear the words of you making these elaborate,
I'm
ornate predictions
gas,
of what we're going to happen.
I walk a lot.
You walk. Yeah. It's totally different. That getting anticipating the worst part of fighting is the anticipation of getting punched. It is the worst. It's worse than getting actually punched. You're just that's all you do the whole time. And it zaps your energy, and I'm not like that. Jew nose is right there, but I'm not going for that. I'm not gonna look for that. I'm gonna look for maybe that fucking Adam's apple. Pop that a couple times.
Wow.
Have you choke on your own your fucking thing? Bam! Hit it.
With 16-ounce gloves, you're going to hit a lot more than his Adam's apple. You're still going to hit his nose.
It's hard to miss that fucking wind sail you call a fucking nose. Here's the thing about the UFC fight, and I don't know, you watched them?
I did.
Did you watch on YouTube, or did you watch it at the actual fights?
No, I get paid back for watching the pay-per-views.
You get paid?
Well, I get the money back.
Oh, that's cool.
I can expense those. So.
That's awesome. Now they're all on YouTube now. All the fights are on YouTube. This new...
The WME
the owners,
thing. Right, right.
They're like, we got to put it out there so people can discover
all the fights are on YouTube every time?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty awesome, man. And it first started with the last Conor McGregor-Nate Diaz fight.
How long after the fights do they go up on YouTube?
They're right up. The next day, I looked the next day. They're right there. You can actually... It was actually on Periscope. You can find the fights live on Periscope.
The thing is, a lot of those fights, I was like, I'm not going to get it. And then I heard about a great fight. And all I would do is look on YouTube to see if somebody has a video of their TV. But if there weren't any of those, I'd be like, oh, I guess I'm just not watching this fight.
I think that's what the new ownership realizes, that they have to get people interested, so they have to put these out so people can watch them. And that Matt Brown fight, Cerrone fight, was amazing.
Yeah.
The Cub-Swanson thing, I mean, dude, they were just teeing off on each other. And what I've discovered about MMA is that there's not a lot of defense in mixed martial arts anymore. It's more like I can absorb more punishment than you can.
I was scared for Choi going into the octagon. I'd never seen him fight before, and I literally thought they were sending a little boy
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just the way he physically appears. He carries himself. Like, he was, it looked like he was trying to count. Like, wow, I wonder how many people they could fit in here. Man, that's a high ceiling. What's going on? Hey, what do I have these gloves on? Who's Bruce Buffer and what is he talking about? What if I agree to? But then he fucking hung in there. And I thought, I was legitimately concerned for his mental well-being immediately following the fight. He seemed...
Because he got the shit kicked out.
He was on suicide watch for a... I mean, I hate to stereotype, but it seemed like an Asian sort of disappointment in himself.
Well, I mean, like, dude, imagine training. Like, all right.
Like, he's Korean, fight. But like in a hari-kari kind of way.
Our fight. You're going to train literally for hours. Hours. You would walking, doing stuff like that. And then you're going to get the shit kicked out of you.
I'm doing all meditation.
The disappointment in you.
All meditation training.
By the way, do they drug test at Ellis Mania?
No.
Can we just come up?
They can't. Let's not. Stop it. They can't.
Let's see. Let's encourage each other to do the most drugs we can before we go in.
We'll do it both ways.
We'll shoot some HGH.
I don't DMT. Let's both smoke DMT.
That would be great.
I always wanted to have an ecstasy fight just to see if people could do it.
Oh, that'd be great. Just watch those two start making out after 10 seconds.
That's all I pitch is really twisted fights. I want to see some guy fight his mom.
Sam just starts going straight down for Ari's bleached asshole.
Do you think you could do it?
Ari, do you think you fight?
I know people that get like outside the norm on ecstasy. They get fighty.
Oh.
Ooh.
Who? Who have you ever seen get fighty on ecstasy?
I mean, honestly, probably coke was involved too, to be honest. Now that I think about it.
The only reason you would fight on XC is because somebody won't hug you. It's like, hug me, dude! Hug me!
Don't the two cancel each other out? I only did them together once. And I did ecstasy first, and then I did some bumps, and then I was like, oh my god, I'm standing in a field watching The Cure. How did this happen to me?
I feel like they wouldn't cancel each other out. They would play off each other. So, like, if I'm feeling like, if I do ecstasy, I'm like, Sam, you're a good friend of mine. And then before I coke, I'm like, Sam, why don't you listen to me?
I'd be like, let me list the reasons why. Hold on, I'll make some notes.
Yeah, this is a good business decision. Hey, Ari, how come you only do shroom fight? How come you don't do, like, coke fest and weed fest?
And meth fest has got a ring to it.
Meth fest would be great. Everybody smoke meth one time.
I would love that. I mean, I participate. I'm not going to organize, but I participate.
You would smoke meth once?
For Meth Fest? Yeah.
You should do something, Ari, where you do every drug and record you doing stand-up on that drug.
On each and every drug?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's your new special. That's your next special. Every 10 minutes is you on another drug.
Yeah, do the same 10 minutes, too.
Three-minute bit.
Same 10 minutes.
Same 10 minutes on 10 different drugs.
Yeah. A little long.
I'm not saying you have to do it all the same night.
Obviously not, but I'm saying it's still a little. That's 100. That's almost an hour and 40-minute special. I'm saying.
No, this will be an hour. Just 60 minutes of you on six different drugs doing the same joke. But you can't do a little. You got to go full in, like to the point of risking health.
Obviously, that's the only way I do anything.
Yes. So I would love to be there during fucking Meth Fest and like this next 10 minutes is crystal meth and just see you like trying to suck your own dick for as you try to explain this joke.
Ari, are there any drugs you haven't done that you want to do?
Heroin's the big one.
Yeah.
You never did it?
Have you ever done it?
Done a little bit.
Really? Did you shoot it up?
No. Oh, I snorted it.
I did Oxy once, and I was just like, okay, so I just want to go to sleep. This is what we're all about. I'm not really into it.
I love when people are like, Oxy is the same as heroin, man. It's the same. I'm like, sure. That's why they have two different names. Okay, fair enough.
Well, you know, they say that.
It's like people are prescribing heroin to their patients.
Well, it's like alcohol. Exactly. It's like alcohol. There's a difference between champagne and tequila, but it's like 80% of it is just right. Alcohol. 80% of drugs is drugs.
Yeah.
If you've done three or four drugs, you can probably kind of guess what heroin's all about. At least a little bit that I tried.
Yeah.
Just with more vomiting the next day.
Makes you warm, makes you really fuzzy, feel good, happy.
Have you ever done heroin?
Just sat there strumming a guitar.
No, but I watched the Amy Winehouse documentary and really made me want to. Like, it was like, wow.
Oh, really? The movie where she dies really makes you want to try it?
Yeah. I mean, but there's a part in the middle. I mean, when her career's just banging, when she's just doing hair. She basically was just this freak with a freakish voice most of her life. And she was a great songwriter, this and that. Really, really good. But then she started doing heroin and just everything changed. Everything was a hit.
Next level.
It's like, wow. What would...
I heard Rhodes talking about, Tom Rhodes talking about heroin with Hedberg. And Hedberg's always like, let's do it. And Rhodes like, I don't want to shoot up anything. And then one day Hedberg was like, hey, Tom, guess what? I found some snortable kind. And then Tom was like, nah. He goes, because he said he read a lot of rock documentaries, rock biographies. He goes, that was always like the end.
Yeah.
As soon as he was introduced into the band, that was the end of the band.
Yeah, I'm reading Sebastian Bach's book right now from Skid Row, and he said that he was talking to Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses as they were in the process of kicking Steven Adler out of Guns N' Roses for doing dope. And Steven Adler walked him through his house saying, this is so fucked up. How can they kick me out? I don't do dope. As Steven Adler simultaneously walked into the bathroom, pulled a brick out of the wall, and pulled his dope out of the wall and started shooting it up.
And he said, I don't do dope as he's getting
How can dope. They kick me out for doing dope, man? I don't do dope as he was getting his dope and doing his dope.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh. And that's how he wasn't on the song Civil War. Or well,
great
The Usual Illusions.
Great music, though.
He was,
huh?
he was on the good albums.
He was on the good ones. Did you go see Guns N' Roses when they were live?
No, I went to go see the Axl Guns N' Roses, and I'd love to shit on it, but I think they were hit or miss. They hit the night that I saw. They were awesome.
He's great, dude.
I knew what the reports were going to be before I heard anybody go to it. The reports were going to be, it was amazing. And how was his range? His range was as good as ever. He was as good as he ever was. That's what I knew the reports were going to be, and that's what they all were until weeks later. You're like, eh.
It was good, except for when they did Chinese Democracy songs. That was the only time.
I think there were actually a couple in the extreme minority of people who liked two songs off Chinese Democracy.
Really?
The weird thing to me when I watch all the video is that there's three. Okay, it's not Guns N' Roses because Izzy's not there, for starters. But there's three of them on stage, and they're just like on islands. Like, they don't even look at each other. They don't interact. It was the most obvious cash grab. Really?
They don't interact at all.
Yeah, did you notice that?
They're just like, I fucking hate this guy. For
150 bucks, Axl has to throw his arm around Slash at one point while he's singing.
We like each other!
Yeah, you gotta go through the motions for me.
Yeah, dude. It was. What was the last concert you went to?
Last concert I went to was to see Chicago at the Hollywood Bowl on July 4th. And it was a little disappointing. They were sort of phoning it in. And, you know, you can, hear it when they're phoning it in and it's all horns, you know? You're there to see Chicago. It's just like, hey, here's Chicago. You know, it's just like, I'm like, what is this?
But you gave me 1,000 guesses on what the last show you would have seen. I would never have guessed Chicago.
Hey, we're all Chicago fans, me and my friends. We went with a huge gang of us. Me, Pete, Luke, Matt, a ton of us.
What are you, fucking Jesus and the Apostles?
What was that, Ari?
I said, if I was at that concert, I would have looked away, baby. I would have looked away.
And I did. I bailed out before the end.
The Hollywood Bowl is a good place to spend a lot of money to see people who should have been off the road 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I've seen Brian. I've seen Brian Wilson not belong on a stage there. I saw
Brian Wilson in Iceland. It's like he's so old.
Yeah, it's weird. It's uncomfortable. And I saw the immortal Etta James after her family should have taken her off the road. She'd be singing At Last. And I'm not exaggerating. This didn't happen once. This happened throughout the show. Simulating fellatio and simulating masturbation.
She wrote
a rascal onto the stage and then pretended to suck dicks while she sang At Last at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
That's great. The last concert I saw at the Bowl was the worst concert I've ever seen in my life. And it was Kanye West, 808s and Heartbreaks. It was the worst concert I've ever
seen. Why was it so bad?
Is that where you got the floating stage?
What?
No.
Is that where he's got the floating stage?
No. That was when he showed up an hour late and did an hour and then left. And it was awful. And it's just, it was the beginning of the end for him. He was starting to cry about how bad his life is and how he just wants to be a regular person. But he just charged us all fucking $100 for these tickets and he's phony.
Dude, I just heard the Dave Chappelle Inside the Actor Studio thing again. And the part where he's talking about how Hollywood is going to make you fucking lose your mind and how they're going to make you sell your soul. And he goes, there's a reason Mariah Carey's fucking showing up naked and Martin Lawrence is going down the street naked with a gun saying they're all trying to kill me. And Britney Spears didn't say this. Britney Spears shaving her head at the height of all their careers. There's a reason.
Yeah. It's a crazy town. And it's
Kanye West is like, guess what? If you want to be a normal guy, do it. Quit all that shit.
Yeah, Chappelle's theory, though, doesn't explain the other 90% of celebrities who don't, pass out from dehydration and Ventura.
They don't do that, but they're not enjoying their lives.
Well, oh, that's certainly true. That's certainly true. We had Martin Lawrence on the radio show recently, and he is he seemed very sedate. Yeah. Seemed like in order to be in public, he needs to take things maybe to sedate himself.
I mean, the only guy you know that's out in public with regular people was Bill Murray at a Cubs game.
Right.
But, like, I've never heard of stories of him out anywhere else. Like, they can't.
Yeah, he never went crazy. He seemed to do everything on his own terms.
He pulled away.
Yeah, he left. I mean, like, he doesn't live in. I think the key to making it in Hollywood is not living in Hollywood.
I think if you're a creative genius, then you're more likely to go crazy. If you're writing your songs and you're doing this, like, I think if you're sort of just a performer, if that makes sense. Like, I think Bill Murray's reading other people's scripts, so.
Yeah, if you're some guy's an actor, it's like, who cares what
right.
you're doing?
But Kanye, everywhere he goes, or Britney at the time, or maybe Martin way back then, I don't know, that's sort of a weird example, but. You know, I think that if you're on the creative, going back to even the Amy Winehouse thing, it's like these people, when you're every single person that sees you is just like, oh, just wanted to let you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but you're a genius. Every single person saying the same thing, and they think they're not saying the same thing. Hey, I'm sure you get this a lot. I get that a lot. You get that a lot.
Yeah.
So why are you even saying, you know what I mean? Like all these things is would be a compilation. I think, I mean,
I felt it too. He said, I don't have to set up boundaries all the time, and I'm constantly setting up boundaries.
Well, I was just at the Clipper game I went last week to see versus the Warriors who got housed, but Jay-Z was there. And, like, you try to approach him for a picture, guys wave you off. But everywhere he goes, he has to hear his own songs. He has to hear his songs everywhere he goes. That's all they play is 99 Problems or New York. And it's just got a fucking weigh on you. I remember when I met the guy who did Don't Squeeze the Charmin. And I'm like, hey, dude, I don't squeeze the Charmin. He goes, I don't give a fuck what you do with that Charmin. I'm like, okay, you've obviously heard this 1,000 times.
Did you hear the Verizon guy said that he was at, this is not a joke, that he was at a burial. And as they put the body in the ground, somebody said, can you hear me now?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, nobody's original. Everybody thinks, this will be great. This will make them laugh. This will be outside the box and make them laugh. But it won't.
Oh, yeah. Your pickup lines, when you pick it up, chicks hear the same shit over and over again. You're not as original as you think you are.
Yeah.
And somebody asked about Ren and Zisi recently. Like, I was like on 9/11. Like, should I call him and tell him like something? I was like, no. He's heard it. You'll be one of 70 people today who say that.
Well, that also goes with pain. Like, I was thinking about, like, how everybody gets offended by everything. They act like them being offended is, like, so important and it's so special and that they have to say something out loud to somebody because their pain's unique. And it's like, it's not unique. Right. I was talking about this on stage the other day when I heard after Ronda Rousey lost. She was like, I thought about killing myself once. I'm like, once? I think about killing myself all the fucking time, man.
I'm thinking about it right now. You don't hear me complaining.
Yeah. I thought about during breakfast. What the fuck are you talking about? You once. Get the fuck out of here.
That Hillary loss has fucked women up big time, though. Like, they're just like, it's hilarious to me. I've unfollowed.
It fucked up rich women from Hollywood.
Yeah. I've been unfollowing people left and right, these whiny bozos.
I got to wrap my friends today.
What I just can't believe is how everybody will swear off something as conspiracy, and then when they hear something they like, they'll totally say, oh, that's total news. Right. Like the CIA thing is interesting because, and this is all I'm going to talk about. The CIA, anonymous source told the Washington Post that the CIA finally, no details. Everybody just ran with it because it fits the narrative.
Yeah. and people like, it was the CIA. I'm like, first of all, no, anonymous source of the CIA. Also, the CIA has lied to us like 15 times over the last 10 years.
Continuously.
Just straight lies.
Yeah. Did you watch Oliver Stone's special on Showtime? Or it was on HBO?
Was it funny?
But it started. Yeah, he was great, dude. He works with puppets and props. And he's the shit. He's like Mexican dog, right? But he did something about, like, after the Bay of Pigs, JFK was so pissed because he got all this bad intel, and he totally got set up. And then when it went bad, he had to take the blame, and he wanted to smash the CIA and destroy it into little bitty pieces and blow it in the wind. That was the whole quote. And it's just like, they're not necessarily. Oh, we got a big call here. I don't know how to take it though. Yeah.
Hold on. Don't mess it up. Aaron, can you come over and do it for him?
Aaron, can you look at this?
He always messes it up.
I don't, because it does have the little. It's a very important call, and we don't have the little, like, for some reason, our Skype has just gotten away from the little merge thing.
Should I hit the button?
No, because then we'll lose Ari, but hit the button. We can lose
it. It's add to call.
It does it. There's no add to call. Oh, hit the button down there. Hit that.
Bye, guys.
Nope.
Add people?
No.
Nope. Let's see what happens.
Should I hit it?
I have similar dialogue with my mom.
Nah. Let's just keep Ari.
Let my 4-year-old talk to her every week.
Ari will get so.
Who was it?
It's Dennison O'Neill. And Ari will get gay snarky with us, and we may never see him again.
I just want to say how you can't get it. Well, you've got it before, and now suddenly you can't get it.
Ari, there's no merge button. I don't know what to tell you, but there's no merge button. So maybe you need to call us.
I know what to tell you.
Okay.
I know what you should tell.
Okay.
I figured it out. It's going to work from now on.
Okay.
What is it?
That's what you should tell me.
Oh, okay. That fell flat hard. That joke did not work. I hope that's not on your next special. That fell flat.
Hey, speaking of the whole, you know, PC and people being victims and stuff, you saw about the new baseball rule where they can't haze the rookies anymore.
Unbelievable.
They just can't make just like women.
No, there's a lot more than that. There's very ambiguous language on the end. It's like they can't dress up like women or people who are older than them or younger than them or fatter than them or skinnier than them or darker than them or lighter than them or anything else.
Well, wow. Dude, did you hear about that minor league team that hazed a guy by holding him down and jerking him off? They jerked him off.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get a deal with this baseball team.
You want to get jerked off by baseball players?
I'm just kidding.
Dude, they got that grip on the bat? Your dick's going to look like Play-Doh.
Did they use pine tar?
Yeah.
That's how they use lube.
They put one of those heavy medicine things around it.
Yeah. To make it heavier when they swing?
Oh, look who got hungry from all this talk about jerking off.
Hey. Aaron, do you like our baseball talk? We're talking about jerking off Latino minor leaguers.
Yeah, man, they went pretty far. They went pretty far with that kid. Not only did they jerk off, but they almost made it to second base too.
Oh, snap!
I don't know.
You really bailed on that.
Tried to think of a better way to say it, but then I realized that I fucked it up in the setup.
Do you think he was like laughing like when people tickle you against your will? Like, stop it! Oh my god, stop it! Or you're like, oh my god, stop it!
It's so weird. Like, what are you doing? You're like jerking me off. Hey, you got to show how much you want to be on this team.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be on the team anymore. I actually reconsidered. I don't want to be on the team.
You know what it is? It's like,
I'm thinking you're not all that committed to AA. Yeah,
you don't love baseball.
Exactly. I don't think you're as committed to the Toledo Mudhens as I am.
I was actually drafted in the fourth round in football, so I think I'm going to give that a shot.
Yeah, getting out of Cuba was hard, but I'm pretty sure it's not that hard to get back.
It's my theory that the millennials are all bisexual. They're just all bi. They've grown up with porn. They've seen way more dicks than any generation before. Every teenage boy right now is growing up with porn on his phone, and he's seen way more dicks than any generation before him.
I kind of agree with that. When I go to porn sites, I always search for straight sex. That's just the kind of guy that I am. And
that's what you type in.
I've gone down some weird shit.
I do. I go
straight sex, no weird shit.
Keywords, penis, vagina, these are the sorts of things I'm looking for. And 99.9% of the time, that's what I get. But I do find that like once a month, there's one suggestion that's like, well, there's cocks too, or just a reminder. And I don't know, it does seem like Pornhub is trying to stoke my bi curiosity.
Oh yeah, it's like what UFC's doing, putting everything on YouTube right after the fights. It's like Pornhub's like, you have to see this other stuff going on. You're gonna like us a lot more if you learn about this, black pizza guy fucking this guy's wife.
Yeah, I was watching Star Trek the other day, the new one. I'm like, this isn't real. If you accept this reality, it's not real because everybody would be bi. It would be RuPaul's Drag Race. That's all the fucking Enterprise would be. It's just a giant drag show with the fucking whole fucking floor dedicated to glory holes. That's what it'd be. That's where the kids are going.
Right. This, the Enterprise also sustained an unbelievable amount of damage and kept flying through space. But you're right. The gay thing, too.
Yeah, I'm saying if you accept that reality, that this is a reality, that one part of it wouldn't be real. There's a really good-looking fucking, like, football jock captain. No, they'd all be prancing.
Well, there might be some hetero backlash coming.
Oh, maybe it's gone full circle? Mm-hmm. Like, by this time, nobody's gay.
It's possible.
It's all boring at that point.
I think
I respect that. I respect that. So, Tony, we want to have you on because we want to talk college football.
I'm excited, man. This is an exciting playoff we have coming up. I'm excited.
I think you're one of the only people who are okay with this playoff.
I like it. I mean, I like it. You got Big Ten, third place, Ohio State.
Yeah. Yes, go on. Continue.
From the, what?
Go on.
That's as much as I know.
Oh, yes. The third place in the Big Ten, Ohio State.
Yeah, he's going to zip up his kid's jacket right now. No. It's getting serious.
A little cozy.
A little cozy.
I'm really pumped about this. I mean, clearly we all know that Ohio State coming in looking like the second best team in the entire country. You have Clemson who's ready to fall off, Washington who's ready to fall off, and a sport in which anything can happen. But what I'm keeping my eye on, and we sort of grazed over this the other day, is my favorite thing in all of sports while we only have two games of it left, which is Nick Saban breaking down Lane Kiffin's backbone between every single play. It might be the greatest thing in all of sports next to the Stockton slap. It's just Nick Saban ripping Lane Kiffin.
That's why he took a gig at – that's why Lane Kiffin is now the head coach of Florida Atlantic.
Right, which is – he's going to be – he's always been a loser. Lane Kiffin is a loser. He's always been a loser. Saban got him as an insurance policy just in case anything happened. He could be like, oh, this fucking guy – terrible.
Well, the truth is, it's just he fails up. Lane Kiffin has always failed up.
He's bad. Do you
Since
know why he
Oakland
works?
Oakland Raiders gig, he has never had
comic.
Success. What?
He's a girl comic.
Yep. Oh, and he keeps getting work. And you know why he keeps getting work? I found this out the other day. My buddy Jaron explained it to me.
Oh, shit. Jaron, your black
true.
Friend?
Yes, this is true, too. I did my research. Lane Kiffin gets picked up and gets to keep working because he's a master recruiter. And the reason he's a master recruiter is because Lil Wayne once rapped about him. So he has, like, street cred with these big, crazy players. Street cred because he's a Lil Wayne lyric.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, it works. It benefits a benefit.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you something. You don't think it has anything to do that he's worked at the biggest schools out there that's easy to sell? When you're like, oh, come to USC, come to Alabama, to Tennessee.
That's
those
how
are
he
the
got
three of the biggest programs out there.
But that's how he got those jobs was from being a Lil Wayne lyric. This was years ago, and he lost everywhere. The guy's a loser. He has Alabama. Yeah, exactly.
He's a coordinator.
There's a bunch of them. Cam Cameron, remember him? There's a bunch of them.
You don't remember Cam Cameron?
He's a fucking weirdo. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them that I can't think of right now.
Well, I will tell you, getting back to it, I will tell you, I think Clemson is a paper dragon. I don't think they're a good team.
Who?
Clemson.
Oh, yeah. They're ticking
time bomb.
They've
been burdened by teams way too much this year, and they finally took one loss. If they hadn't taken one loss, everyone's like going to be like, oh, they're so amazing. But even with that, regardless of that, they've still been barely getting by some mediocre team.
I'm with you 100% on that.
The craziest thing is, Tony, back me up on this. Everyone's overlooking Alabama. No one's talking about the only team that hasn't lost this year.
It's really interesting, but they've done this before. We've seen this before, and Urban Meyer has Nick Saban's number. Let it be known that he's right there. We took the first playoff. We almost took another one, right? What just happened? I'm sort of confused right now.
No, Clemson, Alabama beat Clemson in the championship 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. No, last year.
Last year, yeah.
When did Urban Meyer have his number?
When we beat them. We beat the first college football playoff. Was that 2 years ago? 3 years ago.
I don't think it was up against Alabama.
We definitely beat Alabama. We beat Oregon, number one, and then we beat Alabama.
Beat Oregon.
And
in
Alabama.
In the championship.
In the championship, we beat Alabama in round one. Number
was
one.
Was it 2014?
Yep. Number one versus number four. We were number four, I do believe. And we beat Alabama. Clean. And by a lot, too, by like 21 points. Urban Meyer's a freak, man. And Saban fears him. That's why he had to get, fucking...
I cannot believe that nobody from Ohio State was in the Heisman talk. I can't believe they got two guys from Oklahoma to do that.
They're never going to learn. Meanwhile, Zeke is going to be, whatever, MVP, rookie of the year, whatever. You got Terrell Pryor coming out of the dirt. Shazier, all these Buckeyes everywhere in the NFL, and they still don't get the fucking respect. And it took there almost being two or three Big Ten teams. I mean, there's like four Big Ten teams in the top ten right now. And still people aren't talking about how the Big Ten is back. They still are like, ooh, rough year for the SEC. It's like, no, it's not a rough year for the SEC. The Big Ten is the backbone of football. Just because they had a bunch of track stars.
They've had some down years.
But that's what I'm saying.
They've had some down years.
There was a while where the SEC is like, let's teach these track stars how to catch a football. And then Big Ten was like, whoa, what just happened? If we hit them, we'll break them. But we couldn't hit them because they were too fast. But now we've caught up.
Urban Meyer has brought Florida-level athletes to Ohio State. There was a time in which the Big 12 was really slow. They just didn't have that twitch, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, Trestle. Dude. I think ESPN,
Ohio State beat Alabama 42-35 in 2014 Sugar Bowl, and the winner of that played the winner of Oregon, Florida State. Oregon won that by a lot.
And that 42-35, they scored like two touchdowns right at the end. It's one of those deceiving scores, and we beat Oregon at the end. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
National. I will tell you, the only team this will be the third straight playoff. Ohio State's been in it twice. Clemson's been in it twice. Alabama's been in it every single year.
Of course.
As the number one seed.
That's not going to change for a while. As long as Saban's a head coach.
Number two seed last year.
Dude, Nick Saban has ruined football. College football.
I don't think so. I think
he's destroyed the SEC. Nobody in the SEC can do it. He's getting all the athletes. No, Florida's died off since he's been there. Auburn's fallen off since he's been there. I mean, nobody's been good since he's been there.
Not really. I mean, he's making it bigger and better. It's almost like saying that McGregor is ruining the UFC by winning all these belts. It's like, no, like Saban's like setting a benchmark so that when you do beat Alabama, if Ohio State beats Alabama or if whoever beats Alabama, it makes it like, wow, these guys are going to be the champ. They did it.
Do you follow college football at all?
No, not in the slightest. I don't really like it.
You don't like football at all?
No, I like pro football. Not as much as I used to, but like I'm able to have a lot of ethical concerns about college football because it's easy for me because I don't actually like watching it.
Right. Well, I think there's a ton. I mean, these guys are making – it's slave labor, dude.
That would be one of them.
We've talked about it, man. Yeah.
For sure, you can still like it, but it's awful how they treat those
guys. Right.
Well,
and that's even number two for me. Number one is just college sports in general with guys coming out, and I guess that's more of a problem in basketball than football. I know this is like a really old thing for me to say, but I said it when I was still young. I can't even keep up with the fucking rosters. I don't have enough time in the day. I don't know how you guys do it. You guys
in
probably
pro or
you guys,
college
in college because as soon as I know a team,
college
it's a different...
is tougher because they go by faster. But with free agency, pros are impossible too. Dude, when I was
true.
In high school,
that's true.
I knew pretty much every player on almost any major league baseball team.
Yeah,
right.
I could name this.
Yes,
most of their starting. So infield and outfield.
Our brains work better
like,
than two.
I don't know. Is Steve Sax playing anywhere?
Yeah.
Like, I've got no clue anymore.
Did he figure out the yips? Did he get that?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it. It's a bullshit system, and it's hilarious how it just keeps going because everybody but the athletes have a say in it. I mean, like, I hate to say it, but the college athletes need a union. They need somebody who represents their needs and will fight for it, and they should be like, we're not going to play unless you pay us. Now, the problem with college, and I've said it here before, is that good luck paying male athletes and not paying female athletes.
Right.
You have to create a way in which you have to achieve certain levels.
I know. No, but they can easily do that. The amount of money that comes in gets divvied up to that program.
Well, right. I can fix it even easier than that.
Oh, shit.
But it's a much more radical solution that will obviously never happen, and that is divorcing amateur or minor league sports, which is what they are, from colleges, which is kind of the thing that I find most offensive is the guys who rep their college so hard. And that's the slavey part of it that really bothers me most viscerally, even if that's not the biggest issue that about the thing, is the guys who are like, we this. We that, and I'm like, you don't have a goddamn thing to do with those guys. Those are just the gladiators that you picked off the streets that you're going to throw back there in 18 months. Who's fucking we?
And you know what? Once like there's just
Sorry,
things
dude.
Like
no. I mean, but the playoffs sound great, guys.
No, I'm fucking with you, dude. Like, let's say I play for Notre Dame. I'm a huge star. I win the Heisman. I go pro. Notre Dame keeps selling my jersey.
Yeah.
I get none of that. even though I'm not even going. I'm not an amateur anymore.
Yeah, you're not an amateur anymore. It's silly. I mean, when Phil Mickelson won on the PGA Tour as an amateur, he was like, everybody else split up my money. I get the trophy, and that's it. But if he, in round three, said, hey, I'm not an amateur anymore, they'd be like, all right, well, you're getting your money.
Right, who is it?
Like, once you're not an amateur, you get your cash. Like, yeah. I don't see why you should still not get your cash.
Who is it? Ed O'Bannon, the guy who's in the Nets, they were still making the video games that had him in them.
Yeah.
It was his fucking face, and they're selling the video games, and he couldn't make money off of it.
Well, the UFC did that, too. The UFC...
Oh, right, makes
the
sense.
The rule was they bought your likeness...
Away.
In forever.
Shit.
Yeah, and they're like, if you don't like it, don't fight here. I'm like, I mean, we do want to fight there. Why are you being like that?
Yeah, this is how monopolies work.
It's just, the UFC literally jumps over dollars to make dimes. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but they're buying, oh shit. Ari, we got to take this call, and we'll call you.
Your best. Or do it, and then add me after you hang up.
Okay, I'll do it. Please welcome to the show. He's fighting in Sacramento this week, beating up the Kendall. Please welcome Mickey Gall, everybody. What's the word, dude?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm Sean.
You're on.
Just landed.
Oh, you just landed in Sactown?
Yes, my first steps in California.
Oh, really? You've never been to Cali?
Nah.
Well, Sacramento's got it all.
I'm going to be in L.A. a couple days after this, next week, so...
Oh, you're going to come down? Come to L.A.? When you get here?
I think I come in, like, Monday night.
Ah, cool. So next
Tuesday.
You coming on the show?
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
After I beat this dude's ass. Ari, tell him what happened.
Ari, did you tell us what happened?
What happened? I don't know.
I was 3 feet away from a box of Ari's shit.
What?
Oh, I did hear about this.
What happened?
I think it was the hardest shot I took in the face during this whole camp.
What happened?
It was Jay's birthday, so he got a present.
Dude, so there's a present sitting on the table the whole time. I'm like, why is there a combination on this present? And it's like crudely wrapped. I was like, whatever. And then, you know, he opened it and he cleared the room out. It was a box full of shit. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Was it just your shit or a bunch of shit?
No, just my shit. I shot on a sock.
Oh.
It was so much shit.
Like, what were you holding it and just kept eating till you had to destroy it?
No, I just took a morning dump and I shit on a sock in a box. Pardon? And then I pinched and I shot the rest into the toilet.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty impressive.
And that went with his weird CD you bought him or whatever. You really bought him two of the worst gifts ever, right?
Oh no, that was a CD. They're all saying it was shit in a box. I still maintain that it was the Avenged Sevenfold CD.
Okay, so you gave him an Avenged Sevenfold CD and a box of shit.
No, I only gave him an Avenged Sevenfold CD. People are saying that it was a box of shit.
Allegedly, it was a box of shit.
So I don't know if you know our friend Tony Hinchcliffe. He's here on the show. He's a good friend of ours. He's saying that you're not very good looking. I don't know if you know this. He said that Sage Northcutt's incredibly attractive, and you're not that good looking. That's what he just said.
That hurts my feelings.
Dude.
That hurts my feelings.
So you're going to come to the Comedy Store and show him what good looking is, or what?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I can't wait, man. I want to watch all you guys do your thing, man. It'll be fun. Celebrate. I'll get to... Eat and drink a little bit.
Yeah, you have a French fry and drink a non-gluten-free beer. It'll be great.
So you fly in, man. How's camp been?
It's great. Everything's been going real well. I feel good. I'm ready. I wish I could fight right now. I'm ready to go. Like what? I you know, the travel sucks because they stick you on a couple planes. But like now I'm here. I'm ready. I can't freaking wait.
You couldn't find Newark to Sacramento?
Nah, they put us over in Chicago.
What? That's so cheap. There's direct flights from Newark to Sacramento for
there
sure.
There are direct flights.
You don't live in fucking...
Yeah.
All right, let's not get him in trouble. So...
Wait, Mickey, how much are you weighing now? How much more do you got to cut?
I'm probably around 180. I'm getting picked up right now. I'm going to go check my weight, go like sign some posters, do all that stuff. I think my weight's fine. You know, I'm like 10 off. You know, it's as long as I stay disciplined. Like the past like few weeks, it's easy.
That's cool.
So what's the game plan here? I mean, without giving too much away, how do you see the fight going?
I'll tell you. I'm gonna come forward. I want to crack him a little bit. You know, I'd like to put him out. I'd like to get a knockout. I think everyone's calling this a grappler versus striker match, and I want to show people that, you know, I got some hands and I can knock this kid out. But I'd say the smart money is a submission. I choke him in the second round.
Second round chokeout.
I say that's the smart money.
Has he been? Have you smashed any apples like him lately? I know he's been smashing apples.
Yeah, I saw that, man. Good thing I'm not an apple, right?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Has there been any dialogue between the two of you? Like, any back and forth? Any shit talking?
Yeah. I've been calling him a dork and a goof, but if he's capable, I was trying to make him maybe step out of his character a little bit and say something, but it's nothing too impressive. I think he one time said that I should put gel in my hair. It's a scathing insult.
Wow.
Such a dork.
That's like some Tony Hensworth type burn right there.
Yeah, exactly. You got me. You got me.
That's great, dude. That's great. Are you looking forward to any of the other fights on the card?
Yeah, there's some good ones on there. It's cool. I've been on Uriah's last two cards. He'll be fighting directly before me on his last two fights. On the one in Cleveland, he fought right before me, and on this one, he's fighting right before me too. So that's cool. He's a legend.
So Mickey, you can't really, like, when you're earlier on, you can like finish your fight and then walk around and like watch and stuff. You're a co-main event on this, and you can't really fucking enjoy it too much, can you?
Yeah, not really. I'll be more just like chilling in the back and then doing my warm up. And you're not enjoying the fight so much during that. At least I'm not. I'm more like I'm feeling the nerves at that point. And I'm like, you know, it's about to be business time, so I'm getting ready.
Are you gonna walk off the bus into the stadium like Colin Kaepernick in those Beats by Dre commercials?
What song are you walking out to?
That's a good question.
I'm coming out to Hey Mickey again. I got a little remix. My buddy Ali put a cool remix on it. So cool. It'll be a little surprise. But, yeah, Hey Mickey again.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want any surprises out of a guy named Ali.
Mickey,
He goes, I don't want any surprises by a guy named Ali.
It's Tony, Mickey. Can you do me a favor when you fight him? Can you, one of the moves that you do, like if you like get him in like a rear naked choke or something, can you just mess up his hair too? Like, can you just like smoosh it around like with your free hand? You know what I mean? With that like one that you could cup his forehead with, just mess it up really good.
I'll do it while choking him. I have long arms, so maybe while I have that choke in, I can reach the other one on top.
That'd be so funny.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be like, you ever see when they smack the guy's ass when they're riding him? They're like, smack. That would be the ultimate.
Or when Diaz did like the double middle finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've ever said to someone why you were like about to choke him out or why you had him like in a ground and pound? Have you ever said anything fucking weird?
You should ask my girl. You should ask my girl that.
Yeah, you should say that when you're fighting someone. Just go, smell good.
Yeah, when you're choking out Sage, you should be like, hey, you have any that hair gel I can borrow?
Yeah, just swipe some. Put it right on the mark.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to super gel your hair before a fight?
I think you can whatever you want.
I think you can have it. Yo, they just made some dude shave his beard in his last fight. And they cut off some other dude's top knot, which I'm not against by any means.
Now, did somebody get a haircut during a fight? Didn't they, like, snip it during a fight?
That was
that ruined it. That was Ari's idea to make sure we did the, if Sage agreed to cut his hair in the cage after I beat him. But yeah, someone just got the first official haircut last week. They had to like get their top knot cut off.
That's amazing.
I was kind of impressed that Meek guy had like the big poofy hair. He pretty much was signing up for as soon as he broke a sweat, he was going to look like a guy with a comb over in a pool.
He's going to look like he loved The Cure.
Right, exactly.
Well, Mickey, we're super excited for you, man. I will be rooting for you. Ari's got his dick out just thinking about you. So
messing with it. It's all caught.
Well, good luck, man. Kick some ass. We're so excited for you, and we're excited to have you in the studio next week, man. So set it. We'll set it up. We'll get you in here, and good luck, brother. Enjoy Sacramento. It's a completely underrated town, man. I love Sacramento.
A lot of meth. Get some of the local meth.
I get some meth. I know you got a girl. You can get weird
That's
with her.
That's my pre-workout. That's going to be my pre-fight workout. It's going to be a little meth.
Smoke some meth. Get fucking weird. Bring your girl
they
to a strip bar.
In the UFC.
Smoke some meth out of an apple and then rip it apart.
Yeah, then smash it.
Boom.
All right,
you
buddy.
You should do that. You should bring an apple to the weigh-ins and then, like, mock smoke a bong out of it.
All right, boss. You're the best. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care. I'll see you next week.
Kick some ass. Yeah, hey, hey, Mickey. Thank you for wearing that sweatshirt on the UFC show, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, hell yeah. You know I love you guys.
You're the best, bud. Take care.
Later.
You're like friends with him, huh?
Yeah, dude.
How did that happen?
He just has always been a fan of our show, and he just was like, I love you guys, man.
He reached out to you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I really feel like... I mean, we all know in the UFC, if it's a great fight, both guys benefit from that. It doesn't matter who gets the loss. They both get the push. But I feel like if somebody wins this fight decisively, I mean, it's no secret the UFC plays favorites.
Yeah.
And they're playing favorites with Northcutt currently.
This guy has played it so well, man. Mickey's played it so well.
Yeah, he only challenges low-level people.
No, but
only fights former professional wrestlers.
Look at this.
But, like, he's not calling out a title holder, which is like, come on, stop. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, you're just getting started.
Right.
He calls out a guy.
People, like, yeah, that'd be a good fight. Okay.
That fought at 155. He did 170 and lost, but he fights at 155. It's a huge name. Sage is a 155. If you actually go on the UFC, they list him as a 155.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he calls this guy out. He goats him. And the guy falls for it. And now he's finding a guy that he's probably bigger than. Most likely has a longer reach, and he just puts his mitts on. It was so weird because when he called in, we're like, okay, this is cool, man. This guy's kind of like a big name in a fight, and he's a big fan of ours. Hope he does well. When he went in there and just destroyed CM Punk, we're like, this is cool as shit, man. And it's like, if he gets this, then he catapults to fighting some bigger name people.
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of skeptical about the house. Did you see the house that Northcutt was in front of when he tore the apple in half? It looked very suspiciously like one of these mansions in Malibu you can rent to film porn in.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I think he rented the door for an hour so he could make his apple video.
He's just such a cheese ball, too. Yeah. I mean, the way he was saying, hey, can you rip apart an apple as well? If so, tag me in your video.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of fighter are you again?
Let me tell you. The guy who's on college campuses trying to get you to sign up for credit cards.
Yeah. No, anybody.
I mean, he's such a bleached asshole that he should be between Ari's legs in a couple weeks. Come on.
My personal opinion is, dude, anybody too into anything is shady, like, especially the Lord. If you're religious, I'm totally cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're, like, so religious, it, like, makes me nervous. Like, what are you hiding?
No, it's that old saying.
He's probably a pedophile. Who do you think's picking up those apple shreds from his feet?
It's got to be
little boys.
One of those weird gay sex houses.
It's got to be bittersweet for a pedophile to turn 18.
It's like, aww.
Start of a new beginning.
I'm in a new genre on Pornhub. I'm moving on. Yeah, it's going to be great, dude. It's going to be great. Are you guys NFL?
Tully, after hearing that Mickey Gall calls in regularly, do you now think I'm going to beat up Sam Tripoli?
Yeah, that changes everything, Ari. Look, I'm just going to say it for the 10th time. You totally could, but Sam, I already have evidence of Sam. And can you honestly throw a real sort of punch for me?
Yeah, stand up and show us how you fight.
Yeah. I hope that you were joking with the puppet hands before.
Let's see some form.
What? I'm sorry, guys. I tuned out. I was busy meditating right there. What were you saying?
Show us some of your form.
Show us some of your, like, how you throw fucking punches.
Yeah, can you stand up and show us, like, how you, like, step into a punch? And all
okay,
that? Yeah, there you
good.
Go. Back up.
This should be good.
There
okay.
you go. Let's
there
see
we
it.
Go. There we go.
He's going to fall.
Oh, that's how it's going to be. Oh, those are
right
good
back.
Shots, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's
those
very
are good.
Good
shots.
Oh, and shit, now the tea bag. Back, yeah.
I swear to God, Ari, if you ever did that, I would kill you. I would kill you.
Sam, you better win. I think that's a mortal lock. That is his finishing
the
move right there.
Yeah, is I can't do it. That because when I get in fights, my dick turtles up and it's in fight mode.
Oh, my God. I got called out on that one time.
From like 4 feet away.
Yeah. What?
I can teabag you from like 4 feet away.
Dude, I hope you do, Ari, because I'll fucking nail those nuts, dude. Yeah, cork one off.
He's got ample bag.
You got it. I'll hit it like a speed bag.
Oh, Sam.
So I'm going to choke this dude out, then I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, sure.
Sam.
You'll be dead.
Or maybe you two should fight first and see who gets me.
Yeah, okay.
You think you'd be Ari?
You need to start cutting weight ASAP.
Don't worry about me, dude. Don't worry about me.
Sam, for real, you should just lose some weight.
I will lose weight. I am starting to work out. Thank you.
I'm starting to work out.
I do. I run and walk every fucking day. I take Thai boxing class. I'm trying. I have a slow metabolism.
Thai to go boxing? He gets his Thai food to go in a box. He calls it Thai boxing.
This kid's got puns. He's good.
I got jokes, man. I'm in the comedy game, Sam.
I've heard about it.
It's a whole thing that's going on around it. While you're doing your conspiracy podcast, I'm going to stick with this comedy show.
Go on with the fucking wrestling podcast. You know, a couple guys who live in fucking basements can enjoy homoerotic grinding on each other. There we go.
Our pro wrestling podcast is blowing the fuck up, man.
We're blowing each other up.
We're going to the Royal Rumble at the end of January. We're going to San Antonio.
They don't just let anyone at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Congratulations. You and half the fucking trailer parks out there. So listen, Ari, NFL, Cowboys lost. Yeah, are you worried?
I'm not worried. They would have to lose 2 out of 3 of the next games, and then have the Giants win all 3 for them not to get home field or out. It's not a big issue. The bigger problem is that Dak Prescott, Ezekiel's immune to it so far, but Dak is now at the point where he's playing more games than a college season.
Yeah,
and this is when we start to see rookies start to slow down.
And this is going to sound stupid as fuck.
And he has.
This is going to sound stupid as fuck for a second, but I think I'm onto something. I play Madden a lot. It's my It's my one video game that I play, and I play online, and I play it a lot. And the Cowboys are my favorite team to play with this year because they have Ezekiel Elliott in their backfield, Buckeye. Awesome, fun, good offensive line. Point is this. The last week or so, I've been subbing out Dak for Romo, and I've been getting much better results. And I know that's sort of like a flight simulator type of thing. But I think they need to pull the trigger and give this guy a shot. I mean, the way I thought about it was like, Tony Romo's been a Cowboy for so long. He's been waiting for a guy like Zeke in his backfield. He's been waiting
for an offensive line. He had DeMarcus Murray forever.
Right.
He had that guy. DeMarcus Murray was the leading rusher in the NFL before he left. He had that guy.
Yeah.
He
did. Yeah. Zeke's a different kind of beast. And the offensive line is better. And he still has Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, all these freaks around him. I think they need to give him a little shot. Just throw him in for a quarter. I think they overblow up how important it is to be the starting quarterback and to have the leadership qualities of the team and all that. I think there's a little bit. Hey, how about you throw the fucking ball where it needs to be?
The problem is with Tony Romo, and it's what he's going to find out when he goes to any other team, is that, dude, he's fragile. I mean, a guy fell on him and he fucking was out for 10
then
games.
Then play him until he breaks again. If his back's better, then break him again.
Yeah, exactly. Either way, it's a good problem. Either way, no matter who you put in there, you still have the other guy ready to go, and it's a great sub no matter who you get.
Yeah, can't
Here's a little bit of a problem. The last 3 games, granted, Dallas is 2-1 of those 3 games, but he has thrown for 195 yards, 139 yards, and 165 yards. And that is not going to cut it.
Well, can't you flip what you guys were just saying around, though, and if you have a cushion going into the playoffs, you sort of have an idea of what you're going to get from Tony Romo at this point. Why wouldn't you keep running Dak out there while the games are relatively inconsequential?
Well, because he's been the starter, and that would be what you should actually do is once they secure the play, they're in, right? A playoff. They don't technically have to win any more games to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but you want home field throughout.
So it might actually be good to cart Tony Romo out there, get him some reps going, see how it plays. I mean, you've gotten there.
It's almost like you want to rest him a game or two, which would be nice.
Yeah.
But they will have 2 weeks off, assuming they don't lose three straight games now. They'll finish the season with 1-4, 1-3. But, like, they'll have 2 weeks off after the last game to the first game of the playoffs because they had the bye.
Right.
So that'll be a good rest. And if they can play him for a half in that last game, if they've already locked up home field, then it's like he'll be rested. But if you want to get Romo to play, you need him to have some snaps with those new guys. You need him to learn Ezekiel Elliott's catching patterns and play with some of these guys he hasn't really played with.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the fucking timing down with him.
Maybe. I think he's pretty quick to pick it up, Tony.
And he's been practicing.
Well, the receiver's also got to pick up his things. Like, when does Romo want me to do? When does he want me to come in, go out? That's all shit that's like, you know how Tom Brady has that, where it's like those guys that have been there forever, at Gronk, they just know what he's thinking.
Right. Well, I mean, it's also, I mean, other than this really weird year, Romo's always been sort of like how Brady, I mean, Brady didn't have a problem when he came in on day one and threw, you know, however many touchdowns and all that. It wasn't like, oh, we're used to dippity bops timing.
No, but it was his team. Romo hasn't played with his team. He played two games with his team in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but he's
there's a lot of new players. There's a lot of new players in this team that aren't.
He's just fragile, dude.
I see something's brewing. In this amazing year where every sport has had these storyline crazy things, you know, game seven this, game seven that, Cubs did it, Cavs beat the number one team, I see something brewing with that whole Tony Romo Dak thing, and I think it's going to come into play. Maybe it's in the playoffs, maybe it's not, but I see Romo exploding when he comes back. Four touchdowns, 270 yards, and Zeke, with all that amazing passing, gets to really flex 212 yards rushing.
Whoa, Mike drop.
75-7.
Do you have a team?
Come back. The problem is, too, they're also talking about Dak Prescott being like, oh, this is going to be our guy for 10 years. So let's not fuck with that.
Yeah.
Let's get him going for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like when the Nats wouldn't play Strasburg in the playoffs because like, he already reaches inning limit.
That was the dumbest thing they've
ever
done.
That's a real tough one. That's a real. I totally understand innings limits. Unless if a championship is legitimately in play, you go for the championship.
You got to go for the crazy. Championship. It's crazy. The notion that we might be here again.
I know.
They've never even come close.
You know, playoffs. Rest him early in the season.
That's true.
So you can use him in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a triumph of sabermetrics and watching trends on paper trump actual playing games. Answer your question. I'm a Giants fan, and I would not be if I were a Cowboys fan. I would not be afraid of the Giants.
You wouldn't?
Not really.
Why they? I haven't watched them. You twice.
I'm just saying I haven't watched them a whole lot this year. But
some teams just have somebody's number. You know,
being a Giants fan,
guys barely have their number. They beat them by 4 points total.
Doesn't matter. Beating. And
it's not like they had their
Eli
number.
Manning loves being that guy that beats the IT team.
He's just the enigma, you know. He can shit the bed for you, and he's that guy. And it's actually kind of cool. It's been nice to be a Giants fan because I relax. You don't apply rational analysis to an Eli Manning team. It's just like, I don't know. We might be 4-12 this year. We might win the Super Bowl. Pretty much with the same squad.
I think he's clutch. I've always thought I know he's had bad seasons.
Tell you why.
No, Eli Manning. I know he's had bad seasons, but he barely ever has a line. He's never really had any fucking killer running back for a while. I mean, when was the last time he had a star running back? It's been years. These teams are
Was he around for Thunder and Lightning? Because we almost went somewhere with that.
Who, Ron Dane?
Ron Dane and Tiki Barber. I still got the T-shirt.
He got the Tiki Barber.
Yeah, he got Tiki. Eli's greatest asset is that he's kind of oblivious. I mean that as a compliment. I've never seen a guy. He could throw 11 straight interceptions, and he has the exact same confidence throwing the next pass as he did at the beginning of the game.
He's really just like, I mean, I don't think there's like any even blood flowing to his brain.
Oh,
like, he always
not.
Has a look on his face like that kangaroo that got punched last week. Just like, what? What's going on?
That's the best example of his face. He totally looks like a kangaroo guy.
Just like, what do I do now?
It's like Multiplicity. He's like a photocopy of an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback.
100%. Does he make the Hall of Fame? I think he makes Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for being Peyton's brother. Yeah. Best brother.
Because of the Super Bowl wins. The last time he had a 1,000-yard rusher was Ahmad Bradshaw in 2012.
Oof.
Rush for 10-15.
Yeah, and Ahmad Bradshaw wasn't that great.
No, that was the only year he rushed for 1,000.
It wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't. He had Ahmad Bradshaw rush for 1,200 in 2010.
Yeah, they don't have good running backs for sure.
Man, that'd be interesting to see Eli play with a good running back and that offensive line that they have.
Sure. I mean,
they had 2,000-yard rushers in 2008. Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward each went for 1,000.
Right. Wow. Right. I mean, that's always been the design with him, as I saw it as a Giants fan, is he was supposed to be like a Phil Simms on steroids. We're still supposed to be defense, yeah. Offensive line, control the ball, run the ball. Eli makes the throws when he has to.
Yep.
Him throwing the ball like a reckless idiot was never part of the plan. It's just been most of his career, unfortunately. Yeah.
I love your coach. Looks like he does hardcore porn in the 80s in Chicago, right? He loves dick, but he loves doing porn with that fucking mustache. It's just so like, there's only a couple good coaches out there.
Jeff Fisher just got fired. What do you think about that?
Ah, dude, I said it.
Good.
No,
fuck
but that's
that
not
guy.
That's
He's
not
terrible.
The most interesting thing about that, though. That's interesting is that he got the extension 3 days. How many days before?
Yeah.
Well, they were setting him up to go. It's like, dude, we got to let you go, but here's a little money because he is such an insider. His dad was really big in the NFL. He played in the NFL, and he did a bunch of things. Well, because it's inside ball. It's old boys network.
Just give him some money. You don't have to give him an extension and then say you're on your way. What a weird mixed signal it sends to the team.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre. Tells your team we have no idea what we're doing. How would you possibly have confidence our next hire when we did that with the last guy?
Exactly.
Well, dude, he's like Byron Scott, man. Byron Scott ruined first round number one picks. He ruined Anthony Bennett. He was on his way to ruin Kyrie Irving. He's ruining D'Angelo Russell. I mean, like, the guy can't work with offensive-minded young guys. Same thing with Fisher. Like, he destroyed Vince Young in Tennessee. For whatever you want to say about Vince Young, he won games, man. He was a winner, man.
Yep.
And they benched him that 1 year. They went 0-8, and everyone's like, put Vince Young in, and they went on this fat run of like 7 games in a row that they won. He's just, it's very interesting. If you have a defensive-minded head coach and you draft a quarterback number one, you've really fucked yourself. Because no matter how much they try to help that quarterback, they are a defensive-minded coach. Their whole thing is kill quarterbacks. And it's just like we see over
really
and over
are.
Again that they can't like, if you're going to take a guy number one with a quarterback number one, you got to get rid of your defensive coach. You just got to. You got to open it up, man. They should have been putting out Jeff Goff early.
Who do you think is going to be a fun rep? Who would, if you were the GM of the Rams, who would you pick as the new head coach?
Well, they want to go after Harbaugh, but I don't think Harbaugh will leave Michigan right
now.
He's
not leaving Michigan.
He's got to stay there. So they're talking about Gruden. Gruden supposedly isn't happy at ESPN anymore. Doesn't sound like anyone is.
That would be fun. They need to get somebody L.A. They need, like, big. They can't go with some. That's what, one of the things that I think was wrong in the first place is Jeff Fisher is a boring-looking, boring coach with a boring personality, and they need to have someone that the live crowd's going to want to see fired up on the sidelines. A Gruden, a Rex Ryan, a Harbaugh.
Shanahan. They're
that.
Talking about Shanahan. I think he's Atlanta.
Yeah.
That offense, you need – no, not the dad, the son. You need a guy who all opens the offense, dude. And Jeff Goff isn't – he may be slow in terms of learning how to, like – but, dude, the guy had a cannon. He can fucking throw the ball, man. Let him throw the fucking ball.
Yeah.
I've been amazed at what a non-event the Rams arriving in Los Angeles has been. I mean, what a wet fart.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's like you're coming in here. I mean, first of all, you're charging like $60 for parking. You're going to charge all that? You better be arena football team. Just bombs, 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 bombs.
LA has such a bad reputation as a sports town, as someone who, like everyone else, isn't from here. But, like, Dodgers fans are legit as all hell. Lakers fans are legit
Those
as all
are
hell.
The two
crazy.
Big ones.
Clippers fans are crazy.
I'll give it to the Clippers. I mean, everybody's a Johnny Come Lately. Fuck all 90% of you. You know who you are.
Yeah.
But 90% of the Clippers fans, I'm not looking at you. I said, you know who you are. If you're defensive, that's on you, Sam Tripoli.
It's not, because everybody always says that.
I'm not the one in the Lakers.
Okay, so I did it as a retarded Latino voice.
I had Elgin Baylor's back for 25 years. draft night was like Christmas in my house.
He's still rocking the Afro sheet. He's literally keeping that whole industry afloat.
But my point is, I just can't believe this is a town that really loves sports. And the Rams, it's like they're not even here. People say it's not a football town. Maybe you don't feel the same way, but I feel like this is still – it's still a college football town, and it will be.
I think it's like warming up. I mean, this is my first time, obviously.
They're terrible.
They're just not fun to watch. It's like, you know what really fucked them? That first game where they got destroyed by San Francisco. And then, like, their first game they win was, like, Seattle, where it was 9-6. And you're like, put the kid in. We gave up all these draft picks. We're like, nope, nope,
and that's
nope.
Really, you know, that's L.A. for you. Is the season that the L.A. Rams start 5-0, try to get tickets to a Rams game.
Oh, yeah.
No chance in hell. You know what I mean?
It's like 3-1, and it was like that. People were like, sweet. And then until they were 3-4, people were like, still in. And then it's like, nah, we're done now.
Yeah. And you know when you see it when hot chicks start going to the game. Nobody's bigger bandwagon than hot women. Like, go on Instagram right now. Every single one of them is a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's unbelievable.
Right. Well,
yeah, I'll take it.
I think a lot of people are bandwagon fans in their heart, but hot chicks can just get away with it.
You know who's really bandwagon? Ari Shaffir. His two teams are the Yankees and the Dallas Cowboys.
Like, and four teams. Who else? Who else are like?
You like New Orleans?
Yeah.
That's not bandwagon. That's the only one, literally. Because.
Caps.
And then who else?
Capitals.
Capitals. Yeah.
Oof.
But in the major sports, you're bandwagon.
Major sports of the four major sports?
The major sports of the four, the top two, you're bandwagon.
Where are you from, Ari?
Maryland.
From North Carolina and then Maryland.
Do you
No, no, go ahead.
Do you root for a college football team? No.
Maryland, I guess.
Oh. And those awful fucking jerseys and helmets they got. Like, that just...
Those are fun. Those are fun. The problem was Maryland went to the Big Ten, and it's like, I don't know any of these rivalries. I don't care about Northwestern. I don't care about Ohio State and Michigan State. Like, these aren't the teams I hated forever when I went there. It's like...
That's why Syracuse renewed all their Big East rivalries when they went to the ACC. They're like, nobody cares about Syracuse versus Duke. You know what they care about? Syracuse versus Georgetown.
It takes a while. I mean, I remember Florida State joining the ACC and people were like, who? But now it's like, they're a legit part of the ACC. They always were.
There was talk about North Carolina going to fucking the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't
USC is going to the Big 12?
They were talking about it.
Because they are the ACC. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, not for football.
Oh, they would just go for basketball?
No, they would go the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I don't know why they would do that, North Carolina or any of them. I don't know why anyone would want to be in the Big Ten anymore. It's done in football. You're not going to beat Meyer. You're not going to beat Harbaugh. And if you do, then that was your one silly thing that you did all year.
They got that kid, that guy from Houston, supposedly amazing.
Tom Herman?
Yeah.
Tom Herman is a freak. You heard it here. Watch Texas take over for the next few years. It's crazy.
He just flipped pretty hard fast.
What do you mean?
You just said it was done. Now you're saying that
what was done?
You're saying.
Are we talking about two different things? I'm talking about Tom Herman.
Texas is not in the Big Ten.
Oh. Well, I'm saying that Texas is going to be next, or maybe not next year, could be. He's a freak, this Tom Herman. He's going to be, people are all going to know him as literally one of the top three coaches. In very soon. I mean, he's a freak. If you look at his actual body of work, not just this year at Houston, when he was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, we were nasty, and everybody knew it was because of him. And as soon as he was gone, we had to really, like, rework it. We had to really figure out our option and everything, and, like, everything changed. Point is Texas is going to be in that Clemson, Washington. Who's in the playoff? Clemson?
You guys take on Washington. No, you guys take on Clemson.
What do you think's happening? Here, I have it right here. Clemson versus Ohio State, Alabama versus Washington.
ESPN wants Ohio State versus Alabama so fucking badly.
Obviously.
That's why Ohio State is in there.
Of course,
Sam. Whenever there's a fucking playoff, I can guarantee you will be talking about what the network wants to happen.
Because
that's a big point.
Of course, that's what you mean. That's what America wants to happen. So the network wants the viewers. So I mean, like, of course, everybody wants Alabama, Ohio State. Of course, everybody wanted Cleveland.
But
Golden
Penn State should have been in.
People wanted Cubs and Indians. I mean, like, yeah, there's going to be things which blow up the viewership. And yes, of course, the two biggest bases probably in all of college football, Alabama and Ohio State, a ticking time bomb. What do I think's going to happen?
Yeah,
I think Alabama and Washington are close until the second half, and then Alabama pulls away by their usual 14 or 21. One of those wild couple. There's going to be some crazy defensive turnovers. I feel like the defenses are going to score a lot of points in the Ohio State Clemson game. Gotcha. 28-21 Buckeyes. And then when the Buckeyes play Alabama in your national championship, spoiler alert. The only way to beat Alabama is by jumping way out ahead very early. Us Buckeyes, we recognize that. Ohio State jumps out 21-7 before halftime. And then we cruise on to a nice little...
We have bets.
35-27 victory. The Ohio State University.
We have bets. We have bets. We have bets.
You're That's into your the... college football guru, Tony Hinchcliffe, with your college football playoff predictions.
You're into the whole the thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the name of the school. So when people are like, hey, you do the thing, it's like, no, Ohio State trademarked that. It's part of its actual whole, like,
Did
name.
They trademark the pronunciation as well, though?
Yeah. It's the... That's that the whole thing.
That was a lot of foresight on their part.
He's deep.
I mean,
he runs Ohio State's Wikipedia page.
Is that so?
No, that's not true. But no, that's like that is the thing that you know.
Did people
I was taught it, when I was young?
Is it offensive to just call it Ohio State?
No. But we call it. You know, it depends on when. It depends on how you're referencing it. You know what I mean? But it's one of those things to where. When you're closing out a line with a lot of stuff before it, that's when you get the... And that's why I...
I love Ohio State.
It's fun.
I love gigging in that city. I love gigging in Ohio. It's ghetto. Ohio, there's some ghetto cities.
Yeah.
You ever been to Cincinnati?
I dated a girl who, when she was on campus at Ohio State. I was there when Coop got fired. There was a pall over the entire campus for reasons I didn't understand but knew I wasn't supposed to talk about.
Oh, but it was great.
I was like, I'm just here for a long sex weekend.
We had to get rid of that asshole so bad. He was the worst.
See, imagine I was there at ground zero. He's still upset about it now.
He was the worst. Some just guy that couldn't beat Michigan. He just could not beat Michigan. It's the only your only job at Ohio State. National championships, like it's fun to talk about it. Whoopty fucking do. We really don't care.
Right.
We really don't care. It's all about Michigan. We lost to Penn State. I didn't give a fuck. As long as Michigan's still on our schedule.
Right.
Harbaugh's got to start winning.
Harbaugh's in big trouble. And that's why I don't think Harbaugh's going to be able to go to the NFL or go anywhere else until he wins an Ohio State game. I think Michigan fans are going to be happy if he beats Ohio State in the near future.
Next year,
but they're not going to be happy because he's jetting right after that. That's another super prediction.
His next year is going to be the year in which that's really his team. That's really starting to be his team. His players, we'll see what quarterback he's got. You guys are getting a new quarterback. All your guys are gone. So it's going to be interesting. It's just going to be interesting. USC, we'll see what happens with USC.
Nothing.
The problem is in college, you're like, oh, they're losing their great quarterback, but the biggest teams have, like, their next two quarterbacks already there. They have a redshirt freshman that's not playing, and they have a guy that's going to be a junior.
Yep. It's amazing that New York City has no powerhouse college football teams.
Well, it's not if you've been there and seen how little space there is to fit
right,
in football.
Right, but, like, even a little outside of it.
Yeah, this is why I'm not a college fan, is because that's where I'm from. And
totally.
And I follow Yankees and Nets inexplicably.
St. John's was good for a heartbeat.
Yeah, I kind of liked Syracuse, too. But, again, this was when I knew every year we got the general. We had Cycle-y. Like I knew that squad. I liked that squad. I was I was a kid. So
Earl the Pearl Washington.
I was too young
Derek
to sniff out, to sniff out the reality of Jim Boeheim as a human being. These were the glory days.
This really hot chick that I went to school with. She was much older than me, a couple years. Her name was Tammy. She's gorgeous. And one day she shows up because my dad was her teacher with a signed autograph from Derek Coleman. I was like, oh, thank you so much. I realized she probably took a giant black snake to get that for me. You know? Nobody's with me on that.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
Derek Coleman?
I don't remember him.
Oh, really?
DC, Syracuse.
Whoop-de-dam-do.
Yeah.
Mr. Whoop-de-dam-do.
Yeah. He was the first $100 million like player, I think, in the NBA.
And they lost a game.
Derek Coleman was? Really?
Yeah, and they lost a game, and they went to him in the locker room and asked for his reaction, and he said, whoop-de-dam-do.
He would, like, walk into restaurants and just pee on the table.
That's $100 million, motherfucker.
I still have his starting lineup character in the original packaging.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. He didn't give a fuck.
No, he sure didn't.
He was related to this guy named Bosco that was in our school, and Bosco was the only black athlete in my high school, and he would just murder everybody. He was that good. He could dunk in, like, eighth grade. Okay.
That was the low point of the league.
Yeah,
Derek Coleman might actually be the absolute nadir of the NBA.
Yeah, it was like during that really ugly time.
I guess you could make the case for Len Bias, but it was pretty dark when DC was around too.
Well, what about the Trailblazers?
He was like a bust, really.
Who?
Len Bias, he didn't even get a contract, so it didn't really, like, fuck anything up in the NBA. It was just, like, a regular bust.
Right. I guess it's like, was it cocaine? Was cocaine the low point of the league, or was it when guys got too much money out of college and didn't perform and didn't even disguise that they didn't care?
I think that's what it was. I think in Coke they were still fine. They were still trying hard, maybe harder than ever.
Right.
But I think it was the fucking money, me first, like, I got to get more touches kind of NBA that was like, what is this?
Right. And that was at the same time as ISO ball. It was ugly.
Well, yeah, dude, Michael Jordan, for as great as he was the worst thing that happened to the NBA. He became all about the individual,
yeah.
Just ball hogging.
Getting the ball on the block, clear out, everybody goes on the other side.
Yeah, people talk about that's the golden age of NBA. The defense was horrible back then.
It was the golden age of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it was like isolated, one-on-one basketball. Like, everyone's like, Michael Jordan would kill defenses right now. But you also know that Michael Jordan could get totally zoned on. They could go three-on-one. It wouldn't be as easy as people think.
Who wins in their prime one-on-one, full court one-on-one, LeBron or Michael Jordan?
Well, a better thing than that, instead of one-on-one, because then you're talking about, like, Shaq could just back down anybody.
But you could also beat Shaq down the court and
yeah,
with free
but
throws.
I would say is it five Jordans versus five LeBrons? So you can take passing and put that
in.
Oh,
that's cool.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, you can even say this.
I think LeBron would win that.
I think LeBron definitely gets the ball to LeBron on the block all day.
I think so too.
Michael Jordan's only hope is to get mentally in LeBron's head, because we've seen LeBron get meltdown and people in his head, like Lance Stevenson back in the day in Indiana. I mean, like people go Larry Bird versus LeBron James, who'd win? Larry Bird's only hope is the outside shot and getting in LeBron's head.
If you gave Michael Jordan about a month to grow out his hair and then to color in the rest of his head where there isn't any hair and to take the court against LeBron like that.
Nothing wrong with that, dude. I would take being a genetic super freak like LeBron for having male pattern baldness. That's not
the usual pattern that male baldness follows.
That's not male pattern. That's a new pattern.
He's forging a new pattern.
That's cross circle pattern.
Do you think that has something to do with HGH? There's always that theory that he's been HGH.
No,
forever.
He's looked like that forever.
They're all on HGH.
He looked like, dude, when he was in
they're
high
all
school,
on
like,
HGH.
39.
No, that is true. It's the R. Kelly disease. But they all, right, they test for like three times during the season, and they don't tell you when, but after you've had the third one, you know that you're done for the year, and that definitely happens within the regular season, and that is why the NBA playoffs are as great as they are, is because every single guy is on human growth hormone throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
These are just facts.
LeBron James literally could do HGH, and they would never call him out on it.
No.
He is too important.
No, it's
like
the Agassi meth thing.
Really? Yeah,
he tested positive for meth, and they couldn't go public with it.
Really?
Yeah, it was in his book.
Well, what about
also weirdly bald?
Jordan?
No, Andre Agassi. They got him for meth, and they were like, they made him deal with it. They talked to him about it. They made it go away. They made him clean up, but they couldn't go public. He was bigger than the sport.
That was the NBA with Michael Jordan. They say he was betting on games, and he basically got busted. And they're like, we got to do something. Got to go away for 2 years.
Right. That's why they murdered his dad. It's a cold league.
Conspiracy!
Yeah, exposed. Conspiracy exposed.
Alright, so, yeah, that's the show. We're going to end it a little early.
Okay.
You cool with that, Ari?
How do you feel?
Yeah, just, all right. I mean, it's like 15 minutes early.
You feel like a natural ending happened?
I don't. This seems super weird.
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, you just bailed out of nowhere. All right, it's over.
We're
all done. We can go. Keep going. I'm cool with that.
I've been edging under the table this entire time, and I'm frankly nowhere close to finishing.
Okay. All right. I'm cool with that. Finish it up. Do you want us to be quiet? Do you need us to say anything?
No. Do whatever you do. Don't stop talking.
Do you think if there were
sports are going on right now? Hockey, we don't give a shit about.
Hockey,
right?
We don't give a shit about. What else do we give a shit about?
Pro wrestling is really big right now. Goldberg just beat Brock Lesnar in 20 seconds.
Like, are you excited about that?
It's really funny, man. It's the fun. Me and my buddies have been doing this thing where we get the good pay-per-views that happen once a month, and we laugh and riff like no other day of my months. Like, the way you can laugh and riff on pro wrestling is unbelievable, because the stakes, aren't that high. I mean, it's just a silly sport. You get professional comedians in there. Sports entertainment. You get people, funny comedians in there. You just can riff for days, forever. And, you're like cackling over.
Can you do you know who's going to win all the time?
No, that's what's crazy. Is that that's what makes it interesting is Vince McMahon, you know, is in full control of your storylines, and he always has been. The same guy that will let the Iron Sheik win to, like, fuck with you as a kid is the same guy that's like, oh, everybody thinks that Brock's going to dominate Goldberg and that this is just one match that we're paying Goldberg for. Fuck you. And shocked everybody. We literally were like, wow, that is the one thing. We had different predictions about Goldberg Lesnar. It was the one thing that nobody thought was going to happen because it doesn't make sense. So he knows how to, like, manipulate your brain into, you know,
why
thinking
do you
that
think
something's going to happen.
Wrestling's made such a comeback. It seems like it
comeback. What are you talking? It's been the number one, like, watched.
It wasn't
cable
forever, dude. It was down and out for a little while.
A little bit.
It did seem like it was gone for a bit.
Yeah, a little bit after the Attitude Era, after Stone Cold and The Rock went. But I mean, it's just it's one of those things where you just can't beat, you know, good storylines. Just like with any show or anything like that.
Well, I've heard the argument made. I don't follow pro wrestling, but because of the storylines and because of the existence of the internet and people's ability to talk about what do we think is going to happen and what should happen, that has. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
This is the third rise. This is the third rise.
Totally.
Right.
Totally.
Well, I mean, that's what they say about hockey. That hockey is the one sport.
It's completely fixed by Vince McMahon.
No. HD television has made the experience of watching hockey so much better. That's the one sport it's helped the most because you can see the puck better. Yeah. And hockey is without doubt much better live. There's certain sports that are better live than they are. Yep. Basketball, I could go either way. NFL, I think, is much better on TV.
Agree.
Much better on TV.
Yeah, you're not a fan. You're an extra.
UFC, it depends on how close to the octagon you are.
Do you like to be closer?
Yeah, I want to be right next to that thing.
I like to. When I went and saw Shogun versus Machida at the Staples Center, it was perfect because we were just up a little bit so you could see into the octagon. Yeah. Sometimes when you're like in those Rogan tickets, you're like, it's right there. It's great, but it's like a weird angle. You can hear the thump, 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 but it's a weird angle.
Yeah, I like hearing Joe Rogan and Goldberg talk without having to have headphones on. So I'm gonna go with those seats.
Yeah, I like to be a little high up. They should have it somewhere you could listen to Rogan like on an app.
I've been saying that for a long time. I tried to mention that to Dana. I'm like, you have to do a thing where you can buy like headphones for like $20. What?
That's why he's ignored you. They have it.
Did they have it for like those 10 WME execs on the side? I'm talking
about. They've had that for a few years now.
What? Really? You can plug headphones in and listen to them live?
Yeah.
You can hear Rogan and Goldie commenting on the fight that's happening in front of you live?
Which they're saying and I'm agreeing to is the same thing.
Wow. I mean,
how does that technology work? Because, I mean, you wouldn't expect that every arena would be outfitted for that.
They just do it. It's kind of like in a museum when you can have an audio tour. They just plug it in. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how radio works at all.
Who have you seen with this?
You can walk around and they have like UFC radio. You can see the headphones right there that where you can buy them to listen to Rogan.
Yeah, that's Tony, crazy. You never go out. You have to go out and look for that stuff, like where the merch is sold and stuff.
I make a point to once every, no matter what the arena, walk around. I'm just surprised. I've never seen it. And I've always thought about that.
Yeah, they got it a few years ago. It was like this idea they had, and it was like, yeah, do it. And they finally started, and it was like, oh, good.
That's awesome. They should get it out there so people like me know about it.
Oh, wow.
All right. So in conclusion, what exactly are you guys planning to brawl?
Yeah.
I want to do it at Ellis Mania. Take my clothes off.
There's no immediate plans for an Ellis Mania.
Well, then when it happens, that's when we're going to do it.
It's got to be there?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be.
I want it to be there.
I thought we were sanctioned. Sam, you said we were sanctioned, ready to go. MMA at Ellis Mania in October, but it was a week before my special, and I couldn't do that.
Ellis said, we normally do boxing, but you guys can do what you want.
All right, don't quote me on any of this. Okay. There's never been an MMA fight. There's been 13 of them, but maybe I'm not. This sounds sarcastic.
It's going to be boxing and some kicks and him trying to jiu-jitsu me and then me waiting until he tires and then just hurting people.
Okay, and when is Tony suplexing you?
I'm ready to do whatever.
Yeah, you got to lose some weight, dude.
Don't worry about it, dog.
Lose that fucking...
You're talking some shit right now, haunted puppet-looking motherfucker.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm going to fucking just choke you out.
I see how weird you look like when you're walking down a hallway. I can't even imagine what you're like athletically.
Don't worry about homeboy.
Don't,
it's going to be
trust
great.
Me, if it
Whenever
seems...
you're ready, you tell me.
Okay, you need,
tell me.
You cut weight.
You tell me.
You need to start crushing apples,
all
bro.
All right. All right, dog. You tell me. Whenever you're ready.
You need to cut
we
weight.
We can go to my gym that I do Thai boxing at. They got a nice floor mat. They got a ring. We can do it there. However you want to do it.
That's Tony the bartender's place.
Yeah. That's Tony fucking so weaseling out of this shit.
Egg rolls and,
Tony weaseling out of this.
What are you talking about?
Anytime you're ready, you tell me.
I'm telling you right now, you need to lose 10, 15 pounds.
No, I'm not losing anything. You've challenged me, dude.
You challenged me on my podcast.
You've challenged me. I'm saying, then, let's go fucking do it. Now you're making rules because you're a little fucking weasel, motherfucker.
Jesus Christ.
You're literally starting
an argument about not wanting to lose 10 pounds,
no,
Sam.
No, I'd say let's
you're
fucking
overweight.
Do it.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. And you're underweight, so we're fine.
Not.
You're wearing children's clothes.
I am wearing children's clothes.
That's
close, but I am
so
average height and average weight. Nope.
Okay, I'm a regular human being, all right?
No, you're not.
I'm like most of the country. I'm a fat fuck. You look like you just got out of Auschwitz. You look about 3 days into this motherfucker.
Yeah, I look good.
No, dude, when your teeth are too big for your head, that's when we got fucking problems. So let's, anytime you're ready to
Sam
do it.
Sam's fired up.
Whenever
listen to
you're ready to do it, you just
up.
Let me know.
Watch, he's gassing. He's already gassing.
He's already out of breath.
I'm not out of, I'm just waiting for it to happen.
I'm ready
to go whenever you want.
You take Ari first. You get it out
there
of your system.
There we go.
You guys have this storyline.
That's how we change it. That's how we change it.
Change what?
Guys,
I'm not
he's
there.
Fucking chickening out of it. Wait, how long till you're here?
What?
How long? When's the next time you're in L.A.?
Not sure.
Okay. All right. That was fun.
All right.
Maybe
so we'll
I'll...
see you guys, I don't know, spring?
Yeah.
More likely fall of 2017.
That's going to be that long?
Could be.
I'm fine with it. I just want to do it. I loved going out in Ellis Mania. It was
cool.
So much fun.
It's pretty
I
good.
Just got so tired. Like, because he had
walking into like
ring.
A. I've had like 5 fucking boxing matches. It is ridiculous. I have no idea how
dude,
to throw
when people
a punch.
Are cheering, when you punch and you hit somebody, you hear them go, oh, you're like, this is cool.
I knocked out 2 out of 4 guys from an emo band one time.
Really?
Not going to lie. It's one of the highlights of my life.
I love it, dude. I love it. I had so much fucking fun. I just gassed. It was like an energy dump. Cause you're like, oh. You're like, he's gonna hit me. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, he's gonna hit me. Oh, it's not that bad. That literally is the anticipation of getting hit is by far way worse than actually getting hit. Granted, you know, the people hitting me aren't that. If Tate Fletcher dropped a fucking
but it doesn't
hammer.
Matter who. I fought Bob Levy and he used to call me and taunt me. He'd call me and forget what he was talking about. I wake up and I have a voicemail. He's like, hey, Tully.
The Reverend Bob Levin?
Yes. He's like, hey, Tully, it's Bobby. I'm going to fucking destroy you. I'm going to fucking, hey, there's a show on television right now. Like, he would forget why he fucking called me.
Did you win or did he win?
I did. I beat, actually, Rogan came in and called the video because I won and then Levy went around saying that he got robbed because it was our events. We had Joe Rogan on the show and he gave me the decision. Hmm. Yeah, I stole it at the end of the third.
That's so
I just gray. Barely beat a 300-pound man who smokes like 4 packs of cigarettes a day.
Is that big, I believe
you? What is that?
He's that big now?
No, he's not that big. He's bigger than I am. He's a lot bigger than I am. He's older
but he's
than
not him. Triply big.
That's probably the kind of caliber man we're talking about, actually.
So
I heard Sam was such an outlaw in Armenia that they had to hang him because he was taking up everybody's hubcap work. And when they went to hang him, the tree broke. And then he very quickly escaped the country. Now, that's why no trees will grow in Armenia anymore.
I respect that. I respect that, dude. It's fun. Anything else? Any other bullying that wants to go on here?
I'm just excited for tonight's roast battle with Mike Lawrence versus Zach Amico.
Where it's in New York?
Yeah, at the Stand.
Oh, is that going to be epic?
You have a prediction on that?
I mean, Mike Lawrence is the
best.
You
want to, but Zach is
a lot of people are
great.
Saying Zach.
Really?
And he's coming in as the underdog, which in roast battles a big deal. Like, if you're the favorite, you're in big
trouble.
Everybody overlooked
him in the New York tournament. Everybody overlooked him. And they're like, why are you overlooking the guy who we all thought was the number one guy going in? And he had to slow down. He was crushing people.
Is it
going to
be live streamed?
Maybe.
I think so.
Oh. Definitely up on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I think it might be on Periscope.
Is Mike Lawrence doing the roast battle on TV again?
He should. He's defending his champ. I don't know why he shouldn't. Well, you wouldn't. So Jimmy Carr defended. Mike Lawrence should.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I'm excited. All right, guys. Thank you for all coming right. on. I'm so happy you got to do it, Tully. Yeah, you're always welcome back.
Thanks.
How about me? Am I welcome back?
You're always welcome back, Tony.
I think you got mad during that wrestling match thing.
I did. It's just you're talking shit, and then you put all these fucking fine print with the shit talking.
You're so funny. I told you to lose 10 pounds. You said no. No big deal. Now we'll do it. Now I'll fireman's carry you.
Then you're gonna fight,
no matter how fat you are.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll let you roll over yourself, Sam. You have no technique.
You challenge me.
You can't even walk down a fucking hallway. I'll let you fall on yourself, and then I'll jump on top of you, get points, and that'll be the end of the video.
Whenever you're ready, you just let me know.
All right.
I know Jim that will let us do it, and we'll have fun.
We'll have fun.
We'll periscope it so everyone can see it.
I want to do this.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready now.
All right. We'll do it. We'll set it up.
Let's go tonight.
All right. Cool. I got to do a podcast with them this week. I'm available.
All right.
All right.
Let's hook it up.
Guys, go to Patreon. Hey, check out.
They're on some chairs.
You know it's a wrestling match, right? No punches or fucking. I don't want you to throw any.
We'll do what we got to do.
All right. Here you go. You're changing it.
No, we're not changing
it. He's going to get hungry and eat your ear.
Yeah.
It's just a wrestling match, Sam.
Okay.
Because I could tell once I beat you, you're going to get all fired up and you're going to turn into a baby and you're going to start throwing slaps and shit.
I will tell you.
Because it's
going to
be so frustrating. You're going to picture all of your friends talking about how you got manhandled by somebody 70 pounds less than you, and it's going to eat your fucking brain alive.
All right.
How much do you
weigh?
I
will tell you, I was
like
pretty confident in Tony until he started going,
70 pounds.
Lose 10 pounds. And then I was like, ooh, that feels like doubt. That feels
he has a 70-pound weight advantage.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm fine with that.
That's a major thing.
I'm totally fine with that.
Me too.
I'm totally
fine
with that.
How much do you weigh, Tony?
135.
Okay. So you have, you're at AIDS weight and I'm fucking a fat fuck. So
what was that, Ari?
Sam weighs well over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
210.
I've lost weight, actually. I'm 210. I've lost weight. I've been working out. It's been a great podcast. Guys, thanks for calling in. It's been a ton of fun.
75 pounds. Study on his weight. I don't believe that study.
Yeah, I think we can get this up to a straight double. He could be double Tony's weight.
Bye, Ari.
You want me to double his weight? That's so great. All right, guys. Thank you guys for coming on. It was great. We will see you guys next week. Tune in. Go on Patreon and listen to the new secret podcast that we did, me and Tebow. And we got another one coming out hopefully on Saturday. Guys, thank you so much. I love both of you guys so much. Thanks for coming on. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.